Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Do you know, on this journey in London, there's lots of men with their shirts off. Well, I mean, some aren't worth looking at. Now, I'm not being rude, but I mean, you know, some on the other, there's a guy out. Oh, you naughty thing. I mean, he looked at me and winked. Rather nice, you know. There's a workman up there, dear. Oh, he's on the ladder. And he's flexing his shoulders. Stop it. Looks lovely, isn't it? Don't mind coming to London. Don't tell the husband. What? Don't tell him. And what's that man there? He's just peered in the cab. He said, that's Kim Woodburn. Clever, aren't you? Well, I couldn't be anybody else, could I? Now, London's a fascinating place, isn't it? Fascinating.
Talk Radio. I've got a tweet through here from James. OMG, it's hashtag KLNA again on Talk Radio. You bet your sweet bottom it is, James. Same half of the team. but I need you to give me a ring. 0344 499 1000. We can talk about whatever you want. I've got a number of things on my list, but you know the way this show goes, it never ends up that way. Oh, shush! Kiss trying to break into the action yet again. We got the Tupac guy. I don't know if you've noticed on Twitter, there was a guy who lost his job for sending motivational Tupac quotes to his team members, and he was quite a senior member of a local authority, and I'm talking senior in terms of age as well as business hierarchy. Got sacked for sending too much Tupac. Can you have too much Tupac? A woman who's fallen in love with a chandelier, so it made me think of those moments where they told you it would never work. Customers in McTears. Oh yeah, these customers apparently went to have a McDonald's meal in Liverpool recently and were so upset that the McDonald's had been closed that apparently some of them were crying. I don't believe this. I think this is one of these stories where the papers have been looking on Twitter and someone's made a joke and someone's not got it or decided not to get it. The man who gets rewarded for doing household chores with Sweet Sweet Loving. A goldfish in a sling, house rules and weird habits, and your calls, of course. 0344 499 1000. This morning, I took my little girl to school and did what I usually do and crawled back into bed, right? Because I am useless by this time of the week. Absolutely useless. My condition generally goes from being all right on Monday to looking like just a bag of spanners, to be honest, by Thursday. I was absolutely no good for anything. Didn't speak to anyone in the schoolyard. Couldn't see anyone. I couldn't really concentrate on anything. I'm starting to forget stuff by Thursdays. It's just terrible. So I crawled back into bed and I thought, right, I am staying in here till midday. I'm going to treat myself. Staying until midday. And then I'll go to the gym. That'll be my mission. And if I do that today, then I'm sorted. I've got some other things to do, like taking some crap to the charity shop. No, some excellent unwanted belongings to the charity shop. But I thought, right, if I do the gym, that's something when I really don't feel like doing anything. So I went back to bed, absolutely fast asleep, conked out. One of those deep, sweaty sleeps where you wake up and you don't know whether it's the night time or not. Woke up at midday and I thought, oh, no, I can't be getting up now. I'm going to stay in for another hour. But then, of course, once you've made that decision, you don't stay asleep. So about 20 past, I thought, right, I'll get up, but too tired. I can't go to the gym. I'm not going. What I'm going to do is get out of bed and put some clean pajamas on and loll about downstairs. That was the plan. But I put the pajama top on. And in that motion thought, no, you're being a lazy cow. Get that lycra on. So I went to the gym. So today I'm celebrating that small victory over myself, to be honest. Sometimes if you say you're going to allow yourself to be lazy, that's the moment where you actually start getting active again. Can you drag Giselle into line one for me, please? I can't seem to use phone box, which is a great start for the show. So small victories. Let's count some of those as well. But, you know, I'm throwing these topics out. It's not hard and fast on this show. You can talk about whatever you fancy. 0344 499 1000. Here's Giselle.
I've been dragged into line one.
You have been dragged into line one. How are you feeling about that as a person?
I feel violated and honoured at the same time.
Well, exactly. Here's the thing. Usually it's me or Ian, but I've had to bring in an outside force to do it this time around. I hope they were gentle. If-ish.
Second favourite force.
What have you got for us tonight, Giselle? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Lazy and tired. But apart from that, I'm here. And I went to the gym, and that's something I didn't think I was going to do until about 10 minutes before I put my gym clothes on. So I surprised myself.
I walked to the shop. That's all I've done today. But, I mean, it's a massive achievement, and it's Thursday, so...
Boom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well done.
What's your favourite type of cake?
Cake?
Cake.
Free cake. Someone else's cake. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone else's cake. I like all kinds of cakes. I don't think I've ever met a cake I didn't like or at least have a good go at.
Oh, right. Did it like you back?
Yeah. They like me a bit too much. That's the problem, Giselle. That's why I have to go to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I've been making a lot of cakes recently because, you know, with my reintegration into society and trying to get my life back or some form of it.
Yeah.
Just a lie bit in life. I have attended a few music nights whereby cake is almost expected but let's say appreciated. by me and another person, and been baking a few different cakes with different recipes. I need to try something new.
Right.
I made a combined carrot cake and chocolate red velvet cake recently. That went down well.
What, in the same cake?
Yeah, stacked on top of each other.
Wow.
It's someone's birthday, so...
Red velvet doesn't taste of a lot, does it? It just looks good.
Yeah, it just tastes like chocolate cake, because it's chocolate cake with red food colouring, Catherine, but obviously you knew that.
Well, the ones I've had have always been pretty tasteless. I don't know whether it's the suggestion of chocolate, the brownness of a chocolate sponge that makes you think it's chocolate, but the red velvet cakes I've had have been a bit rubbish, maybe.
Well, I think it's because, in the red velvet cake, as it happens, cocoa powder is used quite sparingly. It's supposed to be a lighter texture. It's not supposed to be like a rich, velvety cake that you might use. So you might use like an oil or something to make it moist.
Right.
So consequently, red velvet cake is a bit light and doesn't really taste of anything. But as you say, it looks nice.
It looks cracking.
And it tastes good with carrot cake. Carrot cake has sugar in it, more sugar in it. It tends to have more sugars because to complement it sticks together. And it's kind of cool.
Giselle, you don't have to convince me about any cake. Even if it tastes of nothing, I'll still have a good old go at it. So where are these music things where they're eating cake? It used to be you'd find friends by, splashing some silk cut around.
Yes, like gallivanting, cake-avanting with cake. But it's basically like there's somebody within the local music scene that does a night where they're a pianist. I said pianist. And they present sort of like as a compere and with a few other acts. And so it's done with pizza. So with the alliteration, it's done with that. And so gradually kind of other things have come into it, like cake. And they get a free drink out of it, so that's always nice. But yeah, I need some new ones to try. What do we think that I could do that I haven't done?
All right.
Kind of, usual ones.
Now, you've got to remember that my cakes are usually served up to a less sophisticated palate of small children. So have you tried...
Small children, yeah.
Have you tried a piñata cake?
Does that have candy in the middle?
Yes, it does, or whatever you fancy. Basically, it's just a sponge cake, right? But you hollow out the bottom layer with a sort of round cutter. Fill that...
Like a cookie cutter?
Yeah. Just do it with a knife. No one's going to see it. No one's going to care, actually. And then just fill that little cavity with, Smarties or whatever. And put whatever you want around the outside. It's a little, nice little surprise for everyone.
What about popping candy?
Popping candy, I hear, is very popular.
Popular, I see what you did there.
Yeah. I made a Malteser cake once. That was nice. And you use Horlicks in the mix.
Right.
Yeah, it's all good.
Right, yeah. It would work for small children then. It just sends them sort of with sugar high in
now,
the Horlicks.
I have heard that the sugar high is a myth, but having witnessed several, I'm going to take some more convincing. I want to see the lab results.
Just get them some diamorphin. I don't mean that.
Yeah. Maybe not. Just
yeah.
Right. Remind me not to try your cakes. I don't need your special ingredient. Thanks very much for ringing. I'm going to speak to a new caller to us. It's a gentleman called Alan.
Hi, Kath.
Oh, this Alan.
It's Cads.
He's Cads. How you doing, Cads? What's going on?
I'm calling you off for mobile tonight.
Oh, fancy. Where are you out?
No, I'm just out on the front door having a ciggy.
Oh, Alan.
How's producer Ian?
Sorry?
How's producer Ian?
He's not here.
Well, what's wrong with him?
He's not feeling too good, so he's having the night off. To be honest, I think sometimes you've got to do that now and again.
Is it because of what happened on Tuesday?
What happened on Tuesday?
When he had the bad mouth.
Oh, well, yeah, it's kind of that, yeah. Because when he first had it done, for anyone who missed it, Ian went for a checkup on this tooth because he'd been aching a bit, but nothing massively dramatic. And when he got there, they said there was a big hole in his wisdom tooth, so they whipped it. They said, we can do it now, so we had it done then. And I said, don't they normally build up to it? It's quite a big deal. That's quite a lot of tooth coming out of being pulled out of your jaw. No, well, it's fine. I'm all right to come to work. So we came to work on the Tuesday. And steadily, I think, like, as the numbing wore off, it's... he's realised that it's had quite a big impact on his face. You know, his jaw's killing him, so, and it's giving him headaches and stuff, so he's having the night off, and that's fair enough.
When the cat's away, cat can play.
Well, I'm hoping I can play. Alan Caddick.
Yes, Kath.
Have you been on Tinder lately?
No.
Right, because I remember you were looking for love at one point.
I tried Tinder, but I gave up on it.
Oh, really? What happened?
I keep giving my life, but I didn't get any matches.
Oh. What a shame. What were you looking for?
Romance.
Yeah, I know, but what type? Was it a certain type? Were you aiming too, I don't know, too young or what?
I was looking for someone 25 to 45.
25 to, I mean, that's quite a big window. Well, too personal. 25 to 45, and what kind of person?
Someone who's a fan of the show like me.
Oh, right, there, you're narrowing it right down. This is the problem. You could get on with someone that didn't listen to this show, couldn't you?
Well, I have to educate them about it.
Well, yeah.
And get them to call in.
Yeah, I suppose.
Hang on, I've just had an idea for tonight.
Go on.
Any potential dates for me, 03444991000.
I'm not pimping you out, Alan Caddick. That is not happening tonight.
Well, Sam can vet him. Sam can vet him.
Sam can vet him.
Yeah.
Well, look, if it happens, it happens, but I'm not actively encouraging it.
And Ian might have to care about that when he comes back.
Well, yeah, but he's not in charge. He's not in charge.
Even though it's his name above the door normally.
It's his name above the door, but it's me who has the final say on matters. On all matters concerning this programme. And don't you forget it.
I know. That's why you're a brilliant producer.
Thank you very much, Alan Caddick. I think we shall leave it there before we spoil it all. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. I'd love to hear from you. You can talk about whatever you want.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Amanda Liberty describes herself as being in an open relationship with several of her light fittings. And she's hoping that marriage to her favourite one will prove her love is valid. Amanda identifies as an objectum sexual, which means she is attracted to objects. The woman who changed her surname by deed poll in a previous relationship with the Statue of Liberty has decided to seek a commitment ceremony to her chandelier known as Lumiere. Amanda from Leeds said, I know a lot of people think my attraction to chandeliers is strange, but I am not crazy. I've been polishing Lumiere most nights to ensure she looks her best. And she isn't put off by an age difference. Lumiere is a stately 91 years old. Amanda said, she first caught my eye when I stumbled across her on eBay. I had no idea. She was my soon-to-be wife. I couldn't stop thinking about her and how beautiful she was. She has such a beautiful shape. I could feel amazing energy coming from her. I knew there and then she had to be mine. They said it would never work. Call me now. 03444991000. Let's hear from you. I mean, were they right? And light fittings. I like them. I've never met one that I'd really want to spend the rest of my natural life with. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Kath. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. What you got for me?
A couple of things. Number one, thanks for being a producer doing the presenting show.
Oh, you're welcome.
My wife's called Kath as well.
Excellent work.
So you're called Catherine, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very annoying when my wife's called Kath, and when people introduce her to her, because I'm from an Irish family, they always call her Cathy.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had that problem?
No, not Cathy. I did have a great-grandma who, to the end of her days, called me Kathleen. For no apparent reason, but no, I've never been called Kathy.
Well, I was going to ring up because it's on the radio when I came in from home and heard you were doing the show,
mm-hmm.
rather than Ian, and I was going to talk about my first Beach Boys gig.
Oh, you can do that if you want.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course it is.
My dad, who's still with us, thankfully, I'm 50, he's about 72 or something, so But he got me into the Beach Boys when I was younger, and went to Wembley Arena about 1987, 88, I think it was. Presumably you're a slight expert on the Beach Boys.
I'm what? Slightly what?
You're probably a slight expert on the Beach Boys.
I am no. I'm nowhere near an expert, and I work with someone who is, so I would never dare call myself that.
I did question when the Beach Boys last time I was on, so but you know something about them, though.
Yeah, I do know a bit.
Okay, so this is a time when they didn't have, obviously, Brian Wilson with them.
Right.
And
was he in bed at that time?
He probably was. There's probably a song about that somewhere, isn't there?
There is.
Lying in bed, like Brian Wilson did. Yeah. But it's 1987-88, like Brian Wilson's in bed, like he was. And it was a superb, for me, as an adult then, 20 odd years old, introduction to Beach Boys, all the songs I'd heard classically on CD.
Mm-hmm.
And people were surfing on the seats, and it was fantastic. Mike Love was fantastic.
Right, so you haven't got a grudge against Mike Love, like a lot of Beach Boys fans do?
Later on, I did, when I learned about what had gone on with the Beach Boys. It was my first ever Beach Boys experience.
Yeah.
In 1987, which is funny because most people's Beach Boys experience have been in the 60s. It was made in 1987. It was fantastic. And they say people surfing on seats in Wembley Stadium, it was very good. It was noticeable the fact they didn't have Brian Wilson, but it was a very appreciative crowd. But a few years later, I think I was one of the people that I think regarded as the, were you actually there at the show in London at the Barbican?
Mm-hmm.
The Barbican, yeah. Where Brian Wilson was doing their Pet Sounds probably early 2000s.
Right.
And he didn't have the Beach Boys backing him, but he had a different band backing him. And that was superb, and I was there. And my girlfriend, stroke now wife, is the that's the only gig I've ever walked out of, and she rang me after it and said, "How do you feel after it?" And I started crying and said, "Why do you never ring me after gigs?" And she said, "I knew this was so much for you," and it was very special to see that.
Wow.
Doing Pet Sounds.
Because you never thought you'd see it.
I never thought I'd see it. I never thought Brian Wilson well again.
Mm-hmm. So, and was he all right in that gig?
In that gig, he was. I think he's gone slightly downhill since then, but he's good in that gig.
Brilliant. Well, at least you were there to catch it. Go on.
Having said that, what was the best gig you've ever seen?
Oh, well, easily. Last week when we went to see Kiss, which I never thought I would say. It was just spectacular in every way. It was the most fun, you know. And also, when you compare it to the gigs we went to the following day, we saw Neil Young and Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously musically they're a lot more credible, and everyone talks about, you know, where were you when they did this.
But in your life, Kiss was the best thing last week.
Yeah, because it was just amazing. I mean, it was firework after firework. They went hell for leather. It was just fantastic.
Did you rock and roll all night?
I did. But I couldn't party every day. That's not a sustainable lifestyle. Nice to speak to you, Gary. I'm going to have a quick word with Jackie. Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Hello.
I'd love to have gone to see Kiss.
They were so good. It was ridiculous in the best possible way.
Yeah, my son went to see them years ago. And I said, "Why didn't you take your mum?" And he said, "I didn't realise you wanted to go." And I said, "Doesn't matter."
No, I didn't realise I wanted to go. I thought, well, I'll go and keep
in
company.
You've got to do these type of things, haven't you, really? You know, if it's on you, you've got to go and see certain bands and things. But God, they're going. But what I was ringing for was it's been all on social media. We've been following all the McDonald's in Liverpool.
Yeah, is that real? Were people crying because it was short?
They showed somebody on the Liverpool Echo website. It came up on Facebook before we were watching it. And he wasn't even English. I think he was American. And he was wiping his eye. And we went, because he was so distraught. And I said, "Why don't you just say to him, there's another two McDonald's up the road. There's one on Bold Street. And there's one on by Central Station. They're only small, but, you know, you've got two other McDonald's." So we've been following it all day thinking, oh, get a life.
Is it real, though? Because it feels like a publicity stunt.
They had to shut down for technical problems or something. So probably something wasn't working in the kitchens. I think if it was the one on Church Street, which I think it was, that's the big, like, it's on two floors.
Right. No, I'm looking at a picture. It certainly looks like that. Let's have a look.
Yes.
In the paper, here's what it says in the Daily Star. Shortly after lunchtime, I'm hoping this isn't going to trigger you and bring back terribly sad memories, Jackie. Are you going to be all right? Can hold
yeah,
up.
Fine.
Shortly after lunchtime today, the branch of McDonald's in Liverpool city centre closed its doors. Management put a sign in the window that read, "Closed. We apologise for any convenience." Oh,
Oh, not inconvenient.
Exactly. Yes, locals are reportedly shocked in disbelief, hungry and startled at the sudden closure. One McNugget enthusiast was in tears at the shock closure, and another is said to have walked straight into the restaurant's glass doors expecting them to open. One disappointed customer told a reporter from the Liverpool Echo, big love for the Liverpool Echo, by the way, that she spent over an hour on a bus from nearby St. Helens to redeem her McDonald's voucher at the store.
That was the one.
Staff at the nearest McDonald's told reporters they'd been told not to speak to reporters. The manager of the branch later emerged to advise the waiting journalists, like there's a massive press pack out there, to call the McDonald's press office. Rumours are swirling that the closure might have been in response to a problem with the plumbing. Swirling. One member of staff told hopeful customers waiting outside the restaurant, it's the drains.
Yeah.
How romantic.
We hope we'll be open for breakfast in the morning. But in the meantime, please go over to our other two stores over the road. There's one in Bold Street and there's one by Central Station.
Yeah,
you can go and get your fix there.
It says here, despite the closure, there was urgent activity inside the Lord Street restaurant. Oh, this is the same restaurant. One member of staff who appeared to be a manager was speaking urgently on a mobile phone while another was busy with a mop and bucket. Well done, the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. The Liverpool Echo isn't even based in Liverpool anymore. They moved to Manchester.
Oh, that happens with a lot of the local papers.
They are. They're traitors. We don't buy the Liverpool Echo anymore because they're not even here.
Oh, blimey.
And the majority, I'm an admin on a few groups on Facebook, and we've actually got a few of the reporters on there who joined our group.
Yeah.
One, I think, is a freelance. Tom, his name is, or something. And then all of a sudden, they come on and they read all our gossip. And the next thing, it's in the Echo.
Oh, yeah, that's the way journalism's done these days.
Yeah, I said, do we get bonuses for doing your job for you? Because you come out and you just read our stories of what what's happening in the World Globe or Crime Watch, We're All, or whatever. They reported on Facebook today in the local Wallasey Gossip, blah, blah, blah. And we go, but you're not even in Liverpool anymore. You're in Manchester, sitting there on your keyboards, just doing what you're doing. And it's just comical.
I know. I started out as a regional reporter, and I was based in Milton Keynes, and it's quite tough to be a regional reporter in Milton Keynes because Milton Keynes is like, it's a big place divided by like a grid road system. It's all these sort of different villages and towns. Really, there's not a massive. You don't go, that's what the Milton Keynes accent is, and that's what people from Milton Keynes feel like. It's not like Liverpool, where you get a feel of a character, because it's still quite young, really, Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
People there are great. All the different places have got different characters. And I remember finding it really tricky. But I used to work with an old fella who'd been working in the area for years, and he was still going by the old methods of journalism, which was sitting in the pub and listening to people. So I guess Facebook is the new sitting in the pub here, Wigan.
Yeah, so you don't actually come out and do anything. Where's the Liverpool Echo when you need them? So because they're too busy on Facebook waiting for us all to report for them. And they do come up with something. They'll say, we spoke to a local lady. I think there was one a few months back. She was complaining that a telegraph pole had been put outside a house in Wallasey, and it was giving her nightmares.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and we were all, what planet are you on? Because they'd moved this telegraph pole by a house, and we're going, well, where else is it going to go? Mm-hmm. It's just a telegraph pole. But honestly, when that came up, we were thinking, oh my God.
But the thing is, your comments on Facebook get turned into online users slammed her for doing this or that, and it's just people having a natter.
Yeah, we say, and what's the other one they put on the Liverpool Echo, and I go, oh, compensation face isn't doing very well on that picture, is it? I've got this, and they're going, oh, look at the compo face on that one.
Oh, I call them glum faces, where they're like pointing to a dog turd or something.
Oh, look at this, look at this lamppost. Oh, look at the compensation claim coming up. There's blame, there's a claim. There's just one more thing I was going to ask you. I don't know if you watched it tonight. There was a thing on ITV, I wanted to know what your thing was. The Britain's Most Treasured Places.
All right. No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was really good. Trevor McDonald, or as we call him up here, Trevor McDonald, because it is was. And we're watching all that, Windermere, Big Ben and all, and Stonehenge won it and they got the most votes or something in Stonehenge. Which is your favourite place?
My favourite place?
Mm.
God, that's a big question. Let me have a think.
See, I like the lakes and things. But
yeah,
like,
we're going to the lakes with my mum and dad this week, this autumn. It's
my
the best time to go.
I've lived up there for 30 years in Windermere and Bowness, so we go up there quite often.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
I have got a soft spot for it, for the Lake District. Especially if it's chucking it down and cold and autumn.
Yeah, you want to go in the hole in the wall in Bowness with the big open fire.
All right.
And it's by the Peter Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, we've been there last time we were there. Right, so hole in the wall.
The hole in the wall. It's down the side street somewhere in Bowness. But we're going. Yeah, big open fire and everything. You just sit there and go, oh, this is the life.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but it's just that. And, you know, certain places, we just thought anything sticks out in your mind, like Stonehenge.
I've never been to Stonehenge. I got driven past it. I know plenty of people who've been 150 metres away from Stonehenge, but not many people get to go and touch the big one.
No, we were showing the sunrise on the summer solstice and everybody there doing that. But there you go.
Thanks for ringing, Jackie.
Light entertainment for tonight, Kat.
Yeah, thanks very much. Listen, you must ring us again. I want to know what the goss is on your Facebook groups.
I'll get you then.
Thanks very much.
I turned it off because I'm thinking, I need a life.
Yeah, it's never ending, is it?
Oh, I know. Well, there's seven admin and 27,000 members.
Flipping heck.
And you're like, no, that's not going on. No, that's coming off. And then we go into a little chat in our own little group and saying, what are we doing about this? And I went, this is Facebook, for heaven's sake.
But the thing is, you're also operating in a high chatterbox territory. I mean, Merseyside people like a gab in real life. Imagine if they were unfettered.
Oh, no. And the best one is, oh, the helicopter, police helicopter's out. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll ring them, ask them. Oh, ten police cars have just gone down Wallasey Village. What's happening? They say, well, we don't know. Ring them and ask.
You should just make it up. You'll end up in the papers.
Oh, God, it's so funny. That's probably where it happened.
Curtain twitches.
All right.
Nice to speak to you, Jackie.
And you.
Take care.
Have a good night.
You
bye
too.
Bye.
03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. Chris has. Let's have a quick word with Chris. What's going on with you? Hey, Chris.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm all right.
Where's Mr. Lee this evening?
He's having a night off. He's not feeling too good.
Oh.
But he should be back tomorrow, we're hoping.
Okay. I had a slight dilemma today.
Come on.
Oh. I found it quite funny, actually. The staff over the little spa shop, they've very kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't see properly, so they always say, right, what can I do for you today, Chris? So, and I got a little bit confused.
Right.
And they said to me, right, I said, I can't remember the first thing I wanted, right, do you need a pint of milk? Do you need some tea or coffee? And out of the blue, I couldn't believe it, Catherine. She said, do you need any condoms?
What?
I behave yourself.
You should have said, yes, I'll have the biggest packet you've got, please.
I know. Oh, see, I went red. Because she served me at the till in the end.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't believe you said that, Kimberly. I can't believe it. I said, I'm going to tell your mum on you. And I said,
but Chris, did you need any condoms?
No. I don't know where that came from. Because I said to her, see, I shouldn't have said it. I said to her, right, I could say something to you now, Kimberly, because these condoms were.
Don't, Chris. If you're going where I think you're going, you didn't say it, no. Did you?
What? What do you think I said?
Well, I'm thinking if you were holding back, it might have been something quite inappropriate.
Well, I thought it was. I said ribbed or classic.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's terrible. Well, they wind me up just because I can't see over the shop, and they help me, and I'm just shocked.
Well, it sounds like they have a giggle with you, though, Chris.
Oh, you've got to have a giggle.
You have?
Of course you have.
What was the last?
That's why I listen to talk radio of an evening.
I'm hoping I can provide
you with
this one.
You've got to have a giggle, haven't you?
Well, let's hope. Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
People crying over a closed McDonald's. What's the daftest thing you've ever found yourself crying over?
I was listening to that one.
I know. Have you ever cried over something stupid and thought, what am I doing?
See, I wind them up over the spa shop because I say, "Oh, you haven't got like, have we got a champagne bar over here, please?" Because they're not a waitress, they're not, and they keep on trying to sell me out of date stuff.
What?
Even when that girl said to me, Kimberly, she said that thing. I don't want to talk.
You worried you might have got some antique Johnnies if you just said yes?
I shouted to the manager. I said, did you just listen to what she said to me? He said, oh, we got some quiche here, Chris. It's out of date.
Well, at least they're honest about it. They're not just trying to slip it in your basket.
Oh, that sounded ruder as well.
Well, should we leave it there, Chris, before both of us end up embarrassing ourselves? Thank you very much for giving us a ring. I mean, 0344-499-1000. I mean, what can you say about that?
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000. Just me tonight, so if you want to give me a shout, now is the time. Here is Peter. Peter, what's going on?
Okay, you've struck gold tonight, dear.
Well, have I?
Yeah, I'm a service engineer for a certain fast food company.
Uh-huh. So you know what's going on in Liverpool, do you?
I don't know what's actually going on in Liverpool. That's not one of my areas. But I can enlighten you on how the clientele of McDonald's behave when they're closed.
Hit me with it.
We actually close stores all the time to carry out works overnight. Obviously, now they're 24 hours, a lot of them. They've got to have some time shut to have the maintenance work done. Mm-hmm. And the people that turn up at the doors, you would think you'd taken away their oxygen. We have seen people get violent. We've seen people smash windows.
No.
We've seen people screech out of car parks. It's hilarious.
They got to get them nugs. They go crazy.
Yeah, where's me nuggets? And there used to be a McDonald's on Haygate in London. And I remember when they closed it down, we had the entire kitchen equipment out on the street. We had the entire lobby, the furniture, all out on the street awaiting collection. There was nothing. It was an empty shell.
Uh-huh.
People were still walking in and saying, are you open?
Wow. Even though all the shop was out on the pavement.
Even though it was just an empty room. It was just a huge room. There was no kitchen. There was no lobby. There was no restaurant. There was nothing. And they were still walking in saying, are you open?
Incredible. What is the thing with McDonald's? Because, you know, people just can't get enough of that stuff, can they?
The problem is, it doesn't fill you up.
Mm.
It's not a filling meal when you have McDonald's. You have McDonald's and 5 minutes later, you're hungry again.
Yeah. It tastes great when it's hot. The same. It tastes great when it's hot. And then as soon as it starts cooling down, you think, oh, what am I doing now?
If you're lucky to get it hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've changed their way of serving things now. They're going for a new way of serving the stuff where you go in, you order it, and it's cooked to order.
Right.
Or supposedly cooked to order. It's supposed to come out hotter than the way they were storing it before, but
I've been pretty lucky recently. I've had some really bad experiences with cold food there, but I've had some, you know, recently the last couple I've had have been hot, and I just wondered whether it was because, I don't know, they do seem to be doing it to order, you're right. My husband's got a trick. He always asks for a burger, a cheeseburger without the cheese, and so they have to make it up special, and he knows he's going to get a hot one.
There used to be a time when you used to be able to walk in McDonald's and ask for a Big Mac grill or a quarter pounder grill. If the minute you said grill, they had to cook it fresh.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether that rule still stands.
Is it true there's a secret menu?
No. There is no secret menu. You can walk in and you can ask for extra pickles, you can ask for extra cheese, you can ask for it however you want.
Yeah.
And they'll serve it to you.
Right.
And usually at no extra cost.
Do you still eat there even though you work there?
Not as much as I used to.
Really?
I started working for them about 26 years ago, and I remember my very first day, I went into 7 stores, and I had a quarter pounder deluxe in each one of them.
Oof.
And I couldn't face a quarter pounder deluxe for about 3 years after that.
All right, that's aversion therapy, that. Thanks for ringing, Peter.
Not a problem, have a lovely night.
You too, thanks very much. 0344-499-1000. I mean, it was a proud boastman who said I'd struck gold, but he certainly delivered, didn't he? Hey, Lavinia.
Hi. Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening to you.
What I'd like to talk about is Ian.
Yeah.
Now, I heard he's not well or...
yeah.
Not been too good.
Well, you know, he started to struggle at the end of last night's show.
Yeah,
so.
I know. But I actually think, you know what I mean, when he was talking about that doctor, you know, that doctor so-and-so, you know, what he was talking about, that doctor... Simon, whatever his name
Sarno.
Is. Sarno, yeah. And also, a couple of weeks ago, he was telling us all about his experience of life, you know, what's happened to him in the past, right? Yeah. How he is feeling at the moment, you know, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised and I'm not shocked. And all I'm going to say, Catherine, I hope he's listening because, you know, what I tried to tell him the other night, what he needs to do, I mean, he needs to go with it, right? Now, how he does that, Catherine, is at the moment, he's probably all over the place, and, you know, like really ill, pain on his back, you know, whatever. But it's a healing process he's going through at the moment. And what's happened a couple of weeks ago, imagine a tap, yeah, that's turned off. It's totally turned off, yeah? And actually, what he'd done a couple of weeks ago, and he was courageous and brave, you know what I mean? I can't tell you how many people he's helped out there, okay? He must have helped thousands of people that can identify with Ian, yeah? So what he's done is actually turned that tap on, and it's been off for many, many years. Now, since he's turned that tap on, you know, what he done a couple of weeks ago about all the bad experiences he's had in the past at an early age, that tap is flowing with water. And when I say with water, it's all these emotions that have been suppressed over the years and whatever, you know, when he was a child. And also pain. And think about this. Majority of men suffer in silence, Catherine. Yeah? Women can talk about their problems, but men don't. And Ian, to me, his mind is like a grasshopper, hopping here, hopping there. Or, you know, I mean, I can identify with him in that way. But all I'm going to say, he's got a fantastic person with you to help him through this, okay? You know, because I heard you the other night sort of talking to him, and it was so endearing what you were saying to him, you know? But wherever he is now, he has to go with it. Don't be afraid what's going to come. Because what's happening, even if it feels uncomfortable, which it will, and he's probably never experienced the pain before that's going to come, it's natural, it's a healing process, and he has got a thing in his head, Catherine, that he has been like a tap for many, many, many years, right? And that tap has been turned on.
Yeah.
And all the water that's sort of flowing is all his emotion that's been suppressed, the pain, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and now
here's
all
the
he
thing,
needs
Lavinia,
to do,
he's got, you know, he's you're right about all that. And I don't really like speaking about it when he's not here. And I wouldn't ever speak for him. But I know he'd appreciate your kindness. He's really lucky in that he's able to have, he's got a brilliant therapist who's sort of holding his hand through this, and he's got a really nice set of friends who are non-judgmental and who are happy to hear him out whenever he wants to. But it is going to be, it's been freeing in a lot of ways, but I think you're right, that there's more, more to deal with, you know, there's more work to be done.
But can I say this to him? If he can understand this, for many, many, many years, I used to feel like an alien. I didn't feel like I could identify with anybody out there.
Right.
Okay? But when he was talking about his personal life, do you know what? My ears sort of pricked up and my mind was just blowing.
Yeah.
Now, all I'm going to say to him is just go with it. Don't be afraid. all right? And whatever's happening, it has to happen.
Yeah.
Because he will come out. He will come out stronger and better, and his mind will see things in a totally different light. Does that make sense,
yeah,
Catherine?
Yeah, it does, and I think you're right. Is that what happened to you, Lavinia?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, I'm 65 nearly, right? And it took many, many, many years, okay?
Yeah.
And over the years, obviously, I've always been tried to be a positive person, but at the same sort of time, a lot of my emotions, my pain was being suppressed.
Right, because you're sort of distracting yourself with other things and not dealing with it.
Yeah, because I used to love helping people.
Yeah.
And all the time I was helping people, it, you know what I mean? It could, like, you know, I was forgetting myself. I wanted to forget about myself,
yeah,
because it was taking myself. It was taking my mind off myself.
Yeah.
So all the time I was out there doing this, that, and the other for other people, it was stopping me thinking about myself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. A couple of weeks ago, I had something a bit embarrassing happened to me, and I was really shocked by how upset I got about it. And I realised it was that thing of, like, carrying stuff round, helping other people out. And having kind of put myself on the back burner for a long time.
Yeah.
And that emotion wasn't about that particular incident. That incident was the thing that uncorked it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I felt better for it having happened. I was really shocked at how strong the emotions were, but also it just goes to show that you can't run away from stuff. You can't.
No, you can't.
You know, you think you're put in a compartment. I'm dealing with that. I've managed it. It's fine. I'm okay. Worst things happen to other people. Let's move on. Let's help someone else. But actually, it will catch up with you. It's like a ninja.
Oh, it does. It does. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, even now, Catherine, I mean, I'm 65. I mean, it's taking decades. You know, I've had everything. So, you know, so many, many years ago, I used to have group therapy, one-to-one sort of counselling.
Yeah.
You could talk about it till the cows come home. But at the end of the day, you know, I can't explain. It's always with you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But also, but you can talk about it, but you can also keep stuff back. And if you're keeping the really hard stuff back, then that's the one that's going to get you.
Yeah, but, you know, how I've embraced it, you know, this is what I was trying to say to Ian and also yourself.
Yeah.
What I feel, you know, I know this is going to sound absolutely strange. But
bet it doesn't.
I'm 65, and what I've got, you can't get this from a textbook. What I've had to endure over the years is actually called a long suffering. And now that suffering, I've embraced it. And how I've done that, Catherine, I've helped other people.
Mm.
When I say other people, people that's been abused mentally and physically and sexually, I don't have to go out there and say, oh, by the way, I've had exactly what you've had. They automatically know.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
No.
It's empathy. It's something that they know and I know. And at the end of the day, I actually don't have to say, oh, by the way, this is, and that's happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because automatically, they can feel my pain without even asking me, and I can even also feel their pain, and it's sort of like a mirror image, and it sort of gives them a reassurance and also comfort that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Someone else has been through that, and at the end of the day, as I was trying to say to you the other night, to Ian, and also yourself, you know, I mean, I don't know if I told you, or actually James, but I actually came out of that tunnel, and I am a miracle, you know, because as I said many, many years ago, I'm 65, and most of my friends, unfortunately, in their 30s, couldn't sort of cope with it, and they've killed themselves.
Oh, God.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm I'm lucky and I'm here.
You're a survivor.
Yeah, but also I'm not sitting there whinging and thinking, oh, poor me, you know, I've had this and that done to me. In fact, it's made me who I am today, mm-hmm. Catherine. And how I say that, I can, resilient. Problems are like, you know, like problems are like a little fly to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm a highly complex person, so at the end of the day, it's made me who I am today. So all my experience of suffering, I can help those who have been through the mill, who actually feel alone and also feel like an alien.
Yeah.
And they know exactly where I'm coming from, and it gives them a comfort and also a reassurance.
Yeah, because you know,
not alone.
That stuff that happened to you and happens to the people that you've been helping wasn't your fault, yeah. And it's the stuff you carry around.
That.
And
I know. I know that now.
But I'm really sorry that happened to you.
No, but you know, in a way, Catherine, I'm at, you know, I know, you know, I mean, you. You're going to think I'm absolutely crazy, right? I'm glad it's happened to me, because I can understand other people's pain, and it's not about helping them, it's about giving them hope and also strength that it's not that bad.
Mm.
You know, I'm here, I actually got through that tunnel. If I can do it, you can do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Blimey.
And having other people, like, you know, not putting them down, having their experience through a textbook, to me, it's not good enough for me. I've got to have real suffering so that I can understand that other person's pain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the way you've explained it, it does. Listen, Lavinia, we're running out of time, but thank you for...
Okay, my lovely, but thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And do you know what? You're a very special soul. I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
I really do. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you, my lovely. Bye-bye. Andrew, bye.
Bye-bye. 03444991000. I mean, God. Heaven knows what's happened to that woman and the way she's come out of it. Is really something very special, isn't it? 03444991000 if you want to give us a ring. We can talk about the lighthearted stuff. We can talk about the heavy stuff. It's completely up to you. I'll be right back after the news, which is coming up next.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
song, I don't know what is. Rome, B-52s, you're listening to Catherine Boyle, I'm on Talk Radio, it's just me on my own today. But that doesn't mean we can't have fun. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We've had it all so far. We've had Lavinia being quite moving, talking about kind of emotional well-being and all that stuff. And we've had Chris being asked if he wants Johnny's at the spa. I mean, it goes from one extreme to the other, and you can help me out with that if you want to give us a shout. 03444991000 is the telephone number to call. We've also had some tweets through, which I've been neglecting, so forgive me for that. But I asked you in passing about daft things you've cried about, mostly because of this story about the Liverpool McDonald's that was closed unexpectedly, and people were crying about it. So what's the daftest thing you found yourself crying about is one of the things I'm asking. 03444991000. A Celine Dion concert on telly for me. I'll tell you about that in a sec. But J'adore Animals has sent me a tweet. Thanks for this. Crying over rubbish. Five mates and me watched Cool Runnings in the cinema and someone was left slightly crying. Not me, though. Yeah, of course. 03444991000. My story dates back to about 2008, about this time of year. I was very pregnant, that's my excuse, very hormonal, and I found myself not able to sleep. So I sat up and I thought, well, I'm going to have a look on Sky and see what's what, see if there's anything I can watch. And I ended up watching the Celine Dion concert she did with the Cirque du Soleil. It was just so beautiful. I found myself in tears, and I knew it was a ridiculous thing to cry about, but I couldn't stop. 03444991000. I want to tell you about this fella because I think he's been done a great, great disservice, and also his staff members think so too, I think. Iowa DHS director ousted from job after showing love for Tupac in a mass email. Jerry Foxhoven, the director of Iowa's Department of Human Services, was told to resign. If you get told to resign, that's not resigning, is it? That's being sacked, isn't it? After emailing an understandably celebratory email centered on his appreciation for the rapper Tupac to an estimated 4,500 employees. That's the takeaway from the new Associated Press report, which notes that Foxhoven was an outspoken fan of the late Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee through his 2-year tenure. As the governor has said, a lot of factors contributed to the resignation of Jerry Foxhoven, and now Governor Reynolds is looking forward to taking DHS in a new direction, a spokesperson for Governor Kim Reynolds said. However, the timing of the requested resignation is of significant interest for many fans. Foxhoven was told to vacate his position the next workday after he sent an email telling workers to mark Tupac's then impending birthday last month with some catalogue spins. That email, according to the Associated Press report, included a photo of Tupac smiling and the inspirational quote, "Pay no mind to those who talk behind your back. It simply means that you are two steps ahead." I mean, that's good stuff. Speaking on the factors that possibly contributed to his exit, Foxhoven argued that Reynolds wanted to take the department in a different direction and explained that he personally doubted that his public Tupac appreciation was the reason. Roughly 350 pages of emails that contain either Tupac or Tupac with the number are cited in the report, as are words of praise from employees who really enjoyed those emails. "I'm a 66-year-old white guy from the Midwest who likes rap music, who likes Tupac," Foxhoven said. "I always try to assume the best of everybody, and I can't imagine that the governor would base her decision on the Tupac incident. If this is the reason, I'm really disappointed." So below, here's the email that Foxhoven sent to his staff in which he commemorates Tupac's birthday. Here we go. It says, "You've already received my email reminding you that this Sunday is Father's Day. I'm sure you're already aware that this Sunday, June 16th, is also Tupac's birthday. He would be 48 today if he were alive." Some people believe he's still alive, by the way. Him and Elvis. "So, of course, I'll be celebrating both Father's Day and Tupac's birthday. I hope you all enjoy the day as well and take time to enjoy one of his songs. Hard to believe he's been gone for almost 23 years. Here is an inspirational quote by him. Pay no mind to those who talk behind your back. It simply means you're two steps ahead. Oh, and by the way, on his birthday, I will have finished my second full year of serving as your director. These 2 years have flown by, and it's been an absolute honour to lead such a dedicated and committed group of people. Thank you for all that you do." People loved this guy, right? People loved him. And yeah, it's unusual, but it's taken off on Twitter. People asking for, well, demanding that he's reinstated, if indeed it was the Tupac chronicles that have led to his demise. So, you know, he's a 60-odd-year-old Midwestern guy who's into Tupac. Who would have thunk it? It happens. He showed his love. Unfortunately, he lost him his job. 03444991000. There's this one as well I wanted to talk to you about, right? House rules. The sort of rules that are applied when you go to someone's Airbnb. This is from the Daily Mail. Airbnb guest is left a very strict list of bathroom cleaning rules by his host, which stress using the toilet brush is not optional and men should sit down for a number one. That's an imposition, isn't it? Telling you how to assume the position. Ian Hickton of Stoke was staying as a guest at an Airbnb when he found the list. A man has shared the sinister and bossy bathroom cleaning rules required by his Airbnb host. He was staying at a guest as a guest at the accommodation last weekend when he found a bizarre list of specific bathroom rules and shared them on Twitter. The disgruntled bass player said, "Actual house rules from the Airbnb I stayed at last night. Is this where the League of Gentlemen got the inspiration for Harvey and Val?" He was referring, of course, to the League of Gentlemen characters, Harvey and Val Denton, who have a strange set of house rules designed to confuse guests to the point of madness. Yeah, didn't they end up like... Spoiler alert, if you've not seen the League of Gentlemen, but there were some dark goings on in that house and very dark deeds done. They were very obsessed with stains. The list started off with more reasonable requests before descending into pointers on how to use the mandatory toilet brush and how men should use the toilet. "Please try your best to use the wash basin without splashing the mirror," it begins, before the host suggests that as a sign of courtesy to the next user, their chrome tap should be cleaned. Anyone thinking that these people should not be renting out their house? Many people have had to deal with a difficult housemate, and so maybe the request to use a shower mat and squeegee to remove any water clinging to the glass shower door could be filed under reasonable. But then the requests begin to get more specific and much less reasonable, according to the Mail. "The use of the toilet brush is not optional," the rules state, elaborating that the purpose of the brush is to remove any signs of your passage, God, of whatever colour, from inside the toilet, above and below the waterline, from the toilet rim and from the underside of the toilet seat. "Gentlemen, it would be highly appreciated if you took a seat both for a number one and a number two," the rules continue, before a reminder to make sure the bathroom floor is dry when the guests exit. Understandably, the list was met with amusement from Twitter users, with one person branding the homeowner's rules sinister. "Do not leave any traces of your passage. How sinister is that?" Example from Beth. "It would seem my mother is running an Airbnb. Those were the rules I had to live by as a child. Rebellion for me is not cleaning the door after a shower," added another user. And one commented, "The use of the toilet brush is not optional. I wonder how violations are punished." Right, so... yeah, okay, that's crackers, and that person shouldn't be hiring the house out. If they're that particular, it's going to drive them nuts. It's no good for them. It's no good for the person. Frankly, I think if someone is paying you to stay in your house, you have no right to tell them whether they should stand or sit to go to the toilet. As long as they go on the toilet, it's their business, isn't it? Literally. 03444991000. But it got me thinking about those rules that you grow up with that you only realise are weird when you go somewhere else, right? When you maybe move out and live with someone who didn't grow up under the same strict regime. So if you've got any of those house rules and weird habits that you realised you had because you'd been brought up that way and you'd never been told that it was another way. For example, okay, this is an easy one, and I think a lot of you have got this rule. My parents forbade solids in the downstairs toilet. If you were going to do a number two, upstairs. I think that's kind of fair enough, isn't it? I mean, can you relax downstairs the same way as you can relax upstairs? But the other thing that we did that I didn't realise was weird until I moved out and moved into a student house and someone expressed surprise, Nate, disgust, was if we ever had like sloppy food, say like you'd not finished your spaghetti bolognese or something sloppy, right, not dry, we chuck it down the toilet. Now, you put worse things down the toilet. Probably the water companies would have something to say about this method of waste disposal, but I didn't realise that was weird until one of my housemates came in and went, "Oh my God, who's put rice down the toilet? It's disgusting." Realised that I was the weirdo. So weird rules, weird habits that you've been brought up with and you didn't realise till you moved out. 03444991000. But you can talk about whatever you want. Here's Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Catherine.
Yes, hello.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. What you got for me?
Oh, I just want some advice, really, Catherine, on... helping my sons go to the toilet.
Oh, blimey. Right, well, this is a very grey area for me because I've only got daughters, but let's hear it.
There must be a similar, like, incentive, like girls or boys, or do they just kind of go and do it?
Are you training them to stand up, or are we talking the basics?
The basics, Cass. Basics.
The basics, right. Here's what we did. What stage are we at? Are we potty? Are we nappies?
No, they're four and two.
All right. Okay, so...
So, you know, I need to get him, the eldest, independently, to, like, go into the toilet.
Uh-huh.
By himself.
Right.
Wheeze and poos, obviously. You know, he's fine with the wheeze. I don't know what his issues are, the poos. He wants his, as he calls, car pants.
Right.
And the two-year-old, no chance. He won't have a wee at all. I just can't get them. I've tried all sorts of incentives and all sorts of different things and just can't do it. So I'm hoping you can, or maybe another caller can give me some ideas.
I can tell you what I did. That's all I can tell you, right? And we made a musical song and dance out of every single toilet trip. I don't suppose you're up for that, are you?
What do you mean? What did you do?
Well, okay, so if he started with the potty, but I'm sure you could apply it to the toilet. We would just, when someone did something on the toilet, we would kind of carry them round on our afterwards, after we've wiped them and everything. And of there course, is a song yeah. for wiping them, by the way, which I can help you out with.
Right.
We would carry them round like they'd won the Olympics. So it'd be on shoulders. There'd be, you know, it'd be wee-wee on the toilet, wee-wee on the toilet. Right. They would be lauded, right? They would feel like they won gold. So okay. we made a big fuss of that. I think they did it just to see if we would continue with this charade, but we certainly did. And the toilet song we used to sing, because my kids are really into Peppa Pig.
As are my boys, so maybe, they love it. Go
on. Here we go. Right. So you're going to have to adapt this, but this is how we did it. So when they finished, I used to sing to them. And I never thought I'd be singing it on national radio. Right,
there
we sing to them. Bend over, let me wipe your bum.
Ah.
I'm only doing this because I am your mum. And sometimes if it was their dad, the kids used to sing, "Oh, dad."
I like that a lot. Well, very good, yeah.
So that's what you've got to do. Unfortunately, you've got to make a great big fuss about it because that's what they respond to.
I've tried that. It kind of feels like if I make a deal of it, they go the other way.
Ah.
As in, you're fussing me. I'm doing the right thing, but I'm rebelling against this toilet thing you're trying to make me do.
Uh-huh. Right. So they're more of they're more introverted. They're not big show-offs like my kids who expect a big clap for doing a poo.
Yeah.
All right.
A song and a dance. Yeah,
all right. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Well, why don't you try? Have you tried giving them a book?
So the last thing I did, I said to my eldest, if you have 10 poos on the toilet, I will take you to go watch Toy Story 4.
Whoa. So you're incentivizing them. You're giving them stats.
Yeah, numbers, a little chart. he was ticking them off. Daddy, I've had 4 poos, 6 more to go. So his maths are improving as well dramatically. We did the 10 poos, right? I took him to see Toy Story 4. I loved it as well. You know, we had a great time.
Did you do 10 poos, though?
I had about 20 poos. through the stress of it all. But, so I thought, brilliant, we've cracked it.
Yeah.
We came home. Daddy, I want my car pants again. After the Toy Story film, can you believe it?
Right, so he was just aiming for that and not aiming for
a long-term goal.
Well, hang on. So the car pants are pull-ups, right, I take it?
Those ones, yeah.
Could you not get him some proper big boys pants with cars on?
Well, that's a good idea. Actually, yeah, here's your pants. They got cars on them.
Yeah.
But you can't poo in them.
Yeah. Because they love that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They love it. If you go, look, these are big boys' pants, but you can't poo in them, right? So we know you can do this. Try these. And the thing is, if they do, they do. And they'll know why they don't want to do it again.
Ah, they'll learn from that mistake.
Yeah. We had these things, when they were kind of, they were really good, actually. My mum helped a lot with toilet training them, and they were both dry by the time they were 2.5, which is
extremely... And girls are better, though, aren't they?
Some kids hold on to it. I've got one family member, one of my nephews, really did not like letting go of those poos.
Right.
He would end up with stomach aches and stuff. Some kids get a bit funny about, you know, letting go,
it's
literally.
It's a huge deal, isn't it, for them, yeah.
Yeah, so, and he would prefer to do it in his nappy, which is just the strangest thing to us, but there'll be a reason for that. But yeah, I find that flattery and saying, look, I've got these amazing pants, right? But and they've got cars on, and they're better than those because you can keep those. These ones are going to get chucked away. Make a big deal out of them and tell him what a big boy he is and everything. And maybe that's it, the golden pants.
Hope so, Kath.
Well,
hope so.
Good luck.
Thank you for your wise guidance.
Well, I mean, with everything in parenting, it's hit and hope, isn't it? Not literally, that'd be terrible. But, yeah. you know, you try things out.
It's coming to that, Kat.
I wouldn't suggest it. Thanks very much, Michael. If anyone else has been in this predicament, 03444991000. I mean, I gave birth to two little show-offs who liked songs and dances and applause, and rounds of applause, but apparently for some kids it's that's not the way forward. 03444991000. Hey, Rebecca.
Hello, Kath.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. Bearing up in a cruel world. Thursdays are always when I start to feel knackered, and it's kicking in.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Ah, well, it's just life.
I've called in with some advice, too.
Oh, good.
I got to go to America last week. I got to go over there with 32 other colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a week over there. And I've managed to find worry in positive. So I was in a very happy, positive kind of place over there.
Good.
And I'm not very good at making friends, really, usually. I only ever have a small number of kind of good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like I made lots and lots of friends that time. And I don't really know how to keep friends because
right.
I don't know how to keep in touch with people, particularly when they're living in different places all over the country.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the balance is between not losing touch with people, but then going over the top.
Right.
People thinking you're a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do you keep friends with lots of people at once when you're kind of an introvert like me?
Right. Okay. Gosh, it's Kath's advice line and all these things are things I have no idea about, but here's what I would suggest. Because I've got probably close, I've got a lot of friends, but ones I can count on, proper friends, close friends, probably about five. And that's enough for me. And I'm not great at keeping in touch with them. But when I think of them, and it might be months or whatever, I'll send them a message and I'll have a chat with them that way. I'm not a big phoner, to be honest.
No, I don't like phoning very much either.
I've never been the sort of person who's picked up the phone and expects, you know, a good hour's conversation. But if they catch me, I'll have a chat with them, and it does tend to go on a bit.
Mm.
But I'm not the big initiator of phone conversations. But I think it's easier these days with like WhatsApp and stuff. You could just shoot someone a message every now and again.
Mm. Well, I sort of started relying on Facebook for keeping in touch with friends, and then I started to hate Facebook. So that's kind of made me turn off that.
Yeah.
But
I haven't used Facebook for ages.
No.
It felt a bit competitive towards the end. I don't know.
Yes, that's all it is on my feed.
People living their quote-unquote best lives, and you think, I don't believe it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on Facebook all the time.
But these people feel like they could be real proper friends. But I do see people who are able to walk into a room and everybody knows them and there are cheers and they can move around the room and give the amount of time to everybody.
Really? They work a room?
I find that really tricky, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. But I think sometimes you have to pretend to be that person. If that's what you want to do, pretend to be that person. The only thing I can probably equate that to is I got invited to a hen party about 2 years ago. And it was one of those ones where you stay away. And it was a friend of mine who I adore. And I didn't know anyone else that was going apart from her sister. And we got sat around this table and it was a big square table. And I was sort of sandwiched in between people who obviously knew each other. And at one point I realized that I was sort of sitting there, sitting back, and they were all leaning, you know, the people on my right were leaning towards the right having a chat, and the people on the left were leaning towards the left and having a chat. And I thought, Christ, I'm Billy No Mates. And I did find myself a little bit frozen to the spot thinking, right, what am I going to do? And in the end I thought, I'm going to have to just lean in. I'll pick a side and lean in. And that's what I did. And I kind of faked it for 5 minutes of being cool with it and, you know, and not noticing that it felt a bit weird. And then after a bit, they kind of included me and I found myself in, you know, in the conversation. And we all got on by the end of the weekend, but I found it really daunting. And everything about inside me was saying, just leave, make an excuse and go.
But this is sort of what I did, which is how I've ended up with all these people now who are very nice.
You lent in.
I want to be interested. I lent in, yeah. Because that's an anxiety when you go into, like, there's a restaurant with a great long table. Is where do you sit?
Yeah.
Do you sit at the very end so you don't have to worry about it? You sit in the middle and then have that.
Yeah.
Everyone turning to your left or everyone turning to the right.
So yeah.
I managed to engage and it sort of it did nice things.
Yeah, but it's forcing yourself to take that step, isn't it? I remember it being a real conscious thing of, I sort of breathed in, right, okay, I'm in. And it was all right. They were friends of my friend. How bad could they be? They were obviously nice people, and they didn't realise they were doing it. In fact, I had to think to myself, they are not doing this to me. They're having a conversation, and they haven't noticed. It's cool. Right, so it's down to me. I either join in, or, you know, this is going to be a nightmare. And I joined in. I think it's just that thing of, all right, not physically leaning in, but every now and again, just shoot them a message and see what comes back. And try not to plan it out too much, because that's the thing. When you start going, right, and they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and it feels totally awkward.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing my usual overthinking thing.
Yeah.
Finding worry and anxiety in something inherently good.
Yeah, exactly. So don't do it, because they're not thinking that way. I can probably guarantee it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, let me know how you get on.
I will.
I hope there was some sense in there and all that blather. Nice to speak to you, Rebecca. You take care.
You too. Bye.
03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. You'll be more than welcome. We can talk about whatever you fancy.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We're talking about all sorts, so don't feel like you can't raise something daft or deep or whatever you fancy. Hello, Hemo.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You sound far away.
Very far away, I'm in Spain. I'm all the way in Spain.
You're all the way in Spain? Whereabouts?
Yeah. Granada.
Beautiful. Andalusia, one of my favourite places in the world.
Amen. I moved here 3 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
And how's it going?
Going good, except I moved in the heat of the summer.
Oh, yeah, okay. All the Spaniards will be looking at you like you're mental.
Yeah, the ones that have left, everyone's gone away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is this a weird rule from the house?
Go on.
I grew up in the same house until I was, like, 15.
Yeah.
And until that time, we only had a downstairs toilet, no upstairs toilet. And I wasn't allowed downstairs at night.
Oh, my God.
So I had to use a potty.
Flipping it. So you were 15?
Yeah. Obviously, sometimes I could sneak down and my mum wouldn't know. But, yeah, I had to use a potty. And it was weird when my friends came over and they had to use it as well.
Wow. So she didn't even pretend that... Wow. No. Yeah, that is...
No, it was supposed to be no number twos, but occasionally you couldn't help it. I didn't want to...
If you got to go, you got to go, man. What are you supposed to do? So why weren't you allowed downstairs?
I'm not sure. Maybe my mum was doing some weird cult thing or something. Or watching, you know, reruns of Emmerdale or something. I don't know. I wasn't allowed down.
That is strange, Hemo. I hate to tell you this. I think you've got a feeling that it was strange anyway, but I think I'm the first person to raise this one.
No, quite a few people would agree.
See, the upstairs-downstairs rules... We had, like, if we had visitors round, they wouldn't really be allowed up. I wasn't allowed upstairs. I certainly wasn't allowed to take boys upstairs, ever. Ever.
No, I never brought a girl back home, ever.
But
because of the potty.
Yeah, well, possibly, yeah. It's a weird thing. It's kind of an old-fashioned thing, I think, because when we moved, and, like, now I'm the grown-up, I noticed that people sort of show you around their houses more, and they'll sort of show you upstairs and... Don't they sometimes, if you've never been there before? Whereas I don't think that was a thing when I was growing up. You kind of got the public area, which was downstairs, and that was your lot.
Would you show anyone your upstairs?
God, it's a state. I would be ashamed to show anyone upstairs. This is the thing, right? Downstairs is reasonably tidy because it's, you know, communal areas and stuff. Upstairs, I mean, my bedroom, for example, God, it's like Mr. Treebus. Sorry?
Did you say you've got a tidy downstairs?
I've got tidy. Come on, Hemo.
And you don't mind showing people around?
Don't mind showing. No, it's pristine. But upstairs, my business. Oh my God, it's a disgrace. I'm like Mr. Treebus.
Oh dear.
Yeah. If I had a nice big house though, and it was all immaculate and stuff, someone else was cleaning it. Yeah, I'd have a look. That's fine. But yeah, really, I wouldn't let anyone upstairs, mostly because of the trip hazards.
Panic on the floor and stuff.
My daughter's rooms. God, disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Tidy up.
But they are allowed to go to the toilet downstairs.
Okay. Lucky them.
Oh. Yeah, God. So have you got a downstairs and upstairs toilet now, Hemo?
I just live on a one floor.
All right, maybe it's the best way. Maybe it's the best way. But no potty, eh?
No pottying. But I might get one.
For old times.
Yeah.
thing is, though, she's making more work for herself if you're going to the toilet in a potty.
Not if I had to clean out myself.
Oh, you had to do it yourself. God. Yeah. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I did.
And, okay. So how many potties were on the go?
No, it was just one potty on the landing.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, that is
it. Like I say, it was weird when friends came around, and that's why I didn't bring girls. But.
See, yeah, this is the thing. This is when you realise it's unusual, isn't it, when other people come into the mix?
It's one of the things I only really remembered it about a year ago as well.
Yeah.
Someone was asking the same sort of question, weird things. I was like, I had a potty.
God. Well, okay, I think we can tick the weird box with that one, Hemo. But you're all right about it. You're all cool.
I'm fine. You don't feel fine. I think it's not made me crazy or anything.
No. Well. Good.
All right.
Nice to hear from you. Take care of yourself.
Bye from Spain. Bye.
Bye. A potty. Well, that's a new one on me. That is a new one on me. We're also doing daft things you found yourself crying about. I mean, a potty. Lely says, my parents used to applaud during potty training as a small child. One day they heard me clapping myself, but unfortunately I'd gone freelance and done a poo behind the sofa. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, this is what happens. This is what happens. Jane says, things I burst into tears for. One that stands out was when I was about 30-odd. I went for a checkup at the dentist and was mildly traumatised when they took two Normans out. I'm guessing that is autocorrect from, like, molars? Normans? Could it be? Although you would be traumatised if all of a sudden there were two Normans in the picture. I remember walking home bloodied, etc., crying in shock. And Linda says, have you seen the made-for-TV film Celine? Now, that will make you cry. No, I haven't. I have no idea what that is. 03444991000. You know, this... Oh, was it about Celine Dion? Or was it about a different Celine? And are we crying for the reason I think we're crying, in that it's absolute crap? Tell you what I did cry for, a made-for-TV movie that I was kind of obsessed with, and I cried over a lot, The Karen Carpenter Story. My God, that's a sad story. I mean, spoiler alert, she doesn't come out of it well. 03444991000. Let's have a little moment of kindness and levity, shall we? Kind-hearted fish lover. This is the fish sling story for people who were following me on Twitter earlier on, and it was a thing that captured a lot of imaginations. Kind-hearted fish lover gives sick goldfish watery wheelchair to help keep it afloat. Now, one of my favourite things in life, tortoises on wheels, dogs on wheels. My auntie had a boxer dog and his hips went. Apparently that's like a congenital thing with boxer dogs often. They get very rheumatic. Is that the word? Rheumatismic. The joints go. Anyway, so, yeah, for a long while, Oliver had a little wheelchair, but you could go like the clappers on it. So, yeah, one of my favourite things is an animal with a disability aid. Kind-hearted fish lover gives sick goldfish watery wheelchair to help keep it afloat. It's no fishy tale, says the Mirror. This poorly pet has its own watery wheelchair to help it stay afloat. Animal lover Henry Kim created the device after some of his goldfish died from swim bladder disorder. Now, I've heard that's from overfeeding swim bladder. Did you have a goldfish? We had goldfish and they would often get this thing where they would float on the top like as if they were dead, but they would be alive and they'd just be swimming on one side. And apparently it was through overfeeding. And one of the remedies is, well, one, stop feeding them. And two, feed them peas. Apparently peas makes them fart and then they're fine. It certainly works for humans. Anyway, animal lover Henry Kim created the device after some of his goldfish died from swim bladder disorder. The disease causes them to float upside down or sink. Yes, looking a lot like death. Designer Henry, 32, used Google to come up with his moulded plastic invention. He has more than 20 goldfish in three tanks in his home in Seoul, South Korea. He said the disorder can be caused by factors such as overeating or dirty water. Bingo. I often find it in fish from Thailand or China. He said, there's a phone going there. Is that, what's that? Fish with this issue only live a couple of months, but thanks to this device, one of my fish has lived to be 5 months old. Oh my God, are they dying that? I would suggest if they're dying before 5 months old, regularly, it might not be the fact they're coming from Thailand or China. And maybe you shouldn't be keeping so many fish. Fish fans often go the extra mile. In 2016, Pet Nemo went on a 200-mile round trip to Bristol to have a tumour removed. It all went swimmingly. Meanwhile, one woman was given a very unusual task at her friend's wedding, and it saw her cleaning up a lot of dead goldfish. The bride loves animals, especially fish, and is an on-again, off-again vegetarian, PETA supporter, etc. So for her special day, she decided she wanted bowls filled with live goldfish as her centrepieces. Can you see what's going to go wrong here, anyone? And that wasn't all. She also decided the fish could double up as wedding favours. Again, each guest would be given one at the end of the night. No thanks, can I just have a piece of cake? Her maid of honour was very worried about the welfare of the fish. Thank goodness, there is always one clever friend. And was also concerned that not all guests would want to adopt a pet at the end of the wedding. She voiced her thoughts to the bride-to-be, but she didn't see a problem. Oh, and that's the end of that story, apparently, the Mirror. What? So, hang on. Didn't see the problem. Aha. Okay, so it's carried on in another page. In her mind, the only potential issue was that the fish might not survive the whole ceremony and meal, so she asked her maid of honour to be on floater duty. She better have given her a good present at the end of that wedding. Writing on Reddit, she claims the bride told her, well, that can be your job during the reception. Just keep an eye out for dead ones and replace them before anyone notices. They're called feeder fish for a reason. They don't live long. Everyone knows that. We'll buy them that morning. They only need to survive the reception. So during the day, the dedicated maid of honour spent her free time, and there wasn't much of it, keeping an eye on the centrepieces, all 40 of them. Unfortunately, as predicted, some of the fish didn't survive the whole day and she had to replace many of the fish. And that wasn't the end of it. My God. Unsurprisingly, many of the guests didn't really want to take a fish home and the maid of honour was left with 80 goldfish at the end of the night. She wrote, isn't it strange how not a single guest was willing to take home some goldfish? It couldn't have helped that the bride didn't think to provide containers for them. So will the bride and groom be adopting these 80 goldfish plus about 10 spare still in the back swimming around in the giant bag from the pet store? Alas, they can't. They're headed off for their honeymoon. Such a shame. Gotta go now. Bye. And with that, they were gone. And I was literally the only person from the wedding left in the building. The hosts still need their globes back. That night, I strolled into a big box, I strolled into a big box pet store in my big floofy red satin floor-length gown, heels clacking on the tiles, and purchased a big-ass rectangular tank, a filter and some fish flakes. A few were dead by the time I got home, and then more the next morning. More again in the afternoon, and in the evening, and in the next morning. Flipping it, this is a massacre. By the third day, we were down to 5, and we lost one a day after that until there was only one left. And that last one? 5 years. I named it Sun. It lingered far longer than my friendship with the bride and far, far longer than her marriage. Wow, what a tale. Do you believe anything on Reddit? Because people don't put their names to things, do they, on Reddit? So you can spin any old bullshine and get away with it and get it in the paper, apparently, and get it on the radio. 03444991000.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
Just me tonight, so if you want to give me a ring, 03444991000, it'd be nice to speak to you. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, from people crying over their McDonald's being closed. Apparently it happens. We spoke to Peter earlier on, who's a service engineer for that particular brand of burger chain. And he said that people really do kick off when they turn up to their 24-hour McDonald's and find it closed. He's seen people smash windows. I mean, those nuggets can be good when hot and with the right sauces and in the right circumstances, i.e. you're starving. But smashing windows for a burger. 03444991000. We're asking off the back of a story where people were crying over their McDonald's being closed in Liverpool. What's the daftest thing you've ever found yourself crying over? Those moments where you said, you thought to yourself, what the hell have I become? 03444991000. We're also talking about weird things that you grew up in your house, weird rules that you didn't realise were weird until you moved somewhere else. Like, for example, if you have something sloppy, when I was growing up, if you had something sloppy for tea, like, you know, a casserole or chili con carne, you know, sloppy food, non-solid food, you'd stick it down the toilet if you didn't want any more of it. That was the way we disposed of our sloppy waste. Apparently that's not done. Didn't find out till I was about 19 and sharing a house with someone who was horrified. But nothing can beat what happened to Hemo, which was he wasn't allowed to go downstairs at night time, so he had to poo in a potty. And we're talking about a 15-year-old. 03444991000. But, you know, I throw these topics out. We do this the whole time. You know the rules. There are no rules. You can talk about whatever you fancy. I'll just keep gabbing until you give me a buzz. 03444991000. This is another one of those things people put online and probably wish they hadn't. When it comes to housework, there are still people among us who believe it's a woman's job to clean the home. It is a woman's job in my home. It's a woman I pay every Friday. In fact, there are two. For some men, it's the case that in order to tidy up their own mess, they need to be offered a type of reward in return, according to this thing. Recently, an Instagram star came under fire when she joked that her husband only helped with the housework to, quote-unquote, get lucky. Now, another couple are causing a stir after the dad's reward chart for doing chores was shared online. And I'm talking about a big chart that says daddy's sticker chart. And down one side, it says wash dishes, put toilet seat down. That's a chore, is it? Putting the toilet seat down. Change blowout diaper, bathe the rugrats, pack the kids' lunches, vacuum car seats, clean up, throw up. And what do you get for that? Well, for washing the dishes, you get a, once you've filled the sticker chart, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, so you get a day of rest. The rest of the time just doesn't get done. Six spots there for sticking your stickers on. If you complete that, 12 pack of your favourite beer. Put the toilet seat down. No nagging for a week. Nagging. Change blowout diaper. Oh, things got started to get interesting. Naked hula dance from yours truly, not from me, from his partner. Bathe the rugrats. I won't donate your favourite pit-stained T-shirt. Pack the kids' lunches. One get out of the doghouse free card. Vacuum car seats. Don't have to go to some annoying kid's birthday party. Wow. Clean up, throw up. You get a BJ. And I don't think they mean Boris Johnson. They mean something quite pleasant. So a photo of this bizarre chart was uploaded to Reddit's feminism forum, where the poster wrote a sticker reward chart for dads. Really? In order to claim these prizes, he's got to do this thing six times. He's rewarded for all his efforts, seemingly, while his partner does everything else for nothing in return. I mean, I think this is probably just a little bit of sexy fun, but people do get very aerated about it online, don't they? This is the thing, right? It's both of you, you both live in the house. I think unless one of you stays at home all day and the agreement is you tidy up, he's not helping you out with the chores, is he? He's tidying his house. I don't know. Mark?
Good evening, Catherine.
Do you need inducements to tidy the house?
Yes, because me being a support worker and doing sleepovers, that's technically working away. And my house friend, so he does all the tidying because he's at home a lot more than I am.
Right, okay. Now, I think that's the difference, right? If someone spends a lot more time in the house and doesn't go to work, I can get why maybe their part of the bargain is keeping it clean.
He goes to work, but is there, like, probably four times as much than I am?
I can't hear you very well, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Is that
better?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm on them iPhones where they're quite wide phones.
Quite wide phones?
Yeah, let me check.
Oh, he's gone. On the 308 is a new tweeter and is really enjoying the show. Thanks very much for your message. I really appreciate it. 03444991000, if you want to give me a ring. Yeah, so this thing of sharing the chores. The chores. Hang on, Mark's coming back. A different user replied, it seems harmless to me, just another method to help motivate someone who seems to have trouble being motivated. To me, it's akin to a swear jar. Someone else wrote, maybe it's because I'm male and lazy, but it seems like a really good idea. Oh, but this one, infantilizing men and rewarding them, especially with sexual favor for doing with this most basic of tasks, mainly helping in the functioning of your shared family, is one of the worst symptoms of toxic masculinity. That's someone on Twitter. I know. The division of labour in a household is something that is very kind of personal and I guess, you know, goes from situation to situation. But if you find yourself giving him a sticker chart, you've got to ask yourself some serious questions. Mark, you're back.
Oh, I'm sorry, my chubby face hits the red button.
Thanks for ringing back. What were you saying? So you've got someone else that stays in the house?
Yeah, so my best friend, we share a house.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I do like 5 sleepovers a week now. So mm-hmm. I'm away 5 nights.
Right.
And then, so then normally when I go home, I normally go to sleep and I go back to work the night.
Yeah.
So yeah, he does most of the cleaning. So yeah. But what I was calling for is obviously that them strange things that you have to do.
Yeah.
When you're younger that you don't do no more.
Yeah, that you realise were weird.
Washing the pots, because we've got a dishwasher.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. That was the thing I got paid for as a kid, washing the pots. And when I moved down south, people thought it was weird that we said washing the pots. I went, what do you mean? I said, washing the pots. Oh, you mean the dishes.
Yeah. Isn't it strange how there's so many different words for the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, and how differently developed in different places. I think it's brilliant, though. This is such a small island, and there's so many variations. I find it really interesting.
So do you, so like a bread roll, what do you call them?
Well, probably like a what would I call it?
If you're still in Nottingham at uni, what would you call it?
A bap.
Well, we call them cobs.
Cobs, right, okay, well.
Cobs.
When I was growing up, it would have been a balm cake.
Oh, God, yeah.
What do you mean, oh, God?
That was the bed, by the way. That wasn't me.
Right, of course it was.
It definitely was.
All right. I believe you.
It's proof. So when I worked in Wigan, they used to call them balm cakes, which was really strange, especially when you go to the chip shop.
Yeah. Chips on balm.
Yeah, that just doesn't go for me.
No, you're a cob man.
Or a sausage in a balm. Sausage cob.
But sausage rolls are different, see, right? So a sausage roll isn't the same thing. So it'd be a sausage... No, I'd call it... I don't know, what would I call it?
So we call them sausage cobs.
Sausage cobs?
Yeah.
Sausage sandwich, isn't it?
Well, that's it. It's 2 slices of bread.
Right, so that doesn't work on a crusty roll.
No.
God, it's a minefield out there, isn't it?
Okay, so my last thing is a breakfast, dinner and tea, breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah. Breakfast.
Which one?
Breakfast, dinner, tea.
Yeah, that's the same for me.
But I recognise that that's not the way it goes down south.
No.
Anyway, so are you sleeping over at the moment? Are you in your room? How does it work?
Yeah, so I'm in the staff sleep room.
Right. And how many people are you watching?
Well, I'm not watching any at the moment.
Well, I know,
five
but
in the house.
5?
Yes, but in this house, the needs aren't very high, so they're probably like Nigel's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a little bit better than Nigel.
Right.
But we're here in case something does happen.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know you can't tell me any particular stories, but it might be that you get a decent night's sleep and you don't get woken up at all.
Well, when I'm here, I don't normally get woken up at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. So that being paid for sleeping when I'm here is really good.
So what time do you turn up? Do you turn up at tea time and watch the telly with them or something?
Well, no, I've been here all day. So
all right.
I started this morning at 8, and then I finished at 10 to come in the sleep room.
Right.
So I had a long day.
And does that mean everyone has to go to bed at the same time?
Well, no. At this property, they can go to bed whenever they want.
Right.
Because they're deemed to have capacity.
Right.
But in other places that we have, some of them have set bedtimes.
Okay.
Otherwise, they not go to bed.
Right, and do you have to enforce it and, like, go in there, like, Dad, and tell him to put the lights out and stuff?
Kind of, yeah.
Have you got a strict voice you use, then? Because you seem very easygoing.
You know what? When I listen to myself back on the radio, I really don't think I sound like this.
Mm.
I do try and butch my voice up a little bit. But they just laugh at me. And because they know I'm gay,
right,
sometimes use that to their advantage.
Oh, really?
I don't really give a monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if it's any other LGBT member of staff, they can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, some of them put a camp voice on to talk to me, which is hilarious.
Wow.
Like, they're is it bedtime, is it? It's so funny, but, yeah.
Oh, well, look, at least they're lucky you've got a sense of humour and you don't rule them with a rod of iron, you know, you could...
There's no need for that, otherwise they turn into, like, there's a lady that works here.
Yeah.
Who they really don't like.
Right.
So she's really, really strict.
But they're not kids, are they?
No, these ones aren't. No, these are adults. These are 20 plus.
Right, so, you know, they don't need to be spoken to like that generally, I'm guessing.
But some of them have got mental ages.
Yeah.
Of under 12.
Right.
So this is then where they kind of come in thinking, oh, I need to treat them like my children.
Right.
Where these people who live in this house are older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a different respect for them.
I got you.
Because I was brought up to respect my elders.
Well, yeah, but you let them back-chat you as well.
Yeah, but it's just a bit of fun though, isn't it? It's, if I was all strict with them, they wouldn't like me.
Yeah.
They do more for me, like they participate in cleaning the house, where if the dragon, as they call them, the dragon was here, they don't do anything.
Because this is the thing, right? This is their house, they're not in prison.
Yeah. No, this is their house. They are the tenants of each room.
Yeah.
So they rent each room.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So they... I get it. So they deserve to be treated like adults.
So the best bit about it, they'll come downstairs or one of them will say, oh, I've moved it up for you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but then I do say that, but then I say, actually, you've moved it up for you.
Yeah.
It's your house, not mine.
Yeah. Yeah, although you appreciate the fact that they're trying to do something for you. Yeah, you're right, it is. It's their place they're keeping tidy.
Or then I say, oh, have you been to my house, have you? Yeah.
All right, Mark. Well, it's nice to speak to you. I'm going to have to go.
It's fine. Talk to you, bye.
So go to bed and turn that light off. Or I'll send the dragon round.
Oh, God, it's off.
Night, Mark. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We can talk about whatever you fancy. We can talk about daft things you've cried about. Oh, they said it would never work. This is based on the woman who's marrying a chandelier. I'm sure plenty of people are telling her that it's hopeless. But, you know, those guys, I'm rooting for them. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. I'd love to hear from you. I'm Catherine Boyle. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
absolute filth from the Bangles there. I had this on the Bangles' Greatest Hits, which is one of the first tapes I ever bought myself. I had this Walkman, say a Walkman, it was a Boots Own blue Walkman, right? And I took it away on holiday with me, and while I was away, I had this boyfriend. I must have been about 13, and he was about the same age. He might have been slightly younger. So, no, not a proper boyfriend, but... So I had this boyfriend, and he used to come around, and we were just mates, really. We used to knock about together. Not like that, you pervert. But we used to just like hang out together. Again, not like that, you perverts. So he used to come round, but I used to get really turned off by the smell of his aftershave. It used to give me it was really strong and pungent. And he used to actually leave me with a headache. And this went on for weeks and weeks. It was the summer holidays. He was round all the time. And I remember thinking, God, that smell's going to make me throw up. So while we were away, I was thinking, I'm going to have to pack him in because I can't be dealing with this. It's just so off-putting. I can't. You know, these things are important. I couldn't possibly have told him, could I? So I was building up to it, and I just remember, whenever I hear the Bangles, it makes me feel a little bit sad because I remember breaking that lad's heart over what turned out to be my mum's Haze magic mushroom thing that she had. You remember, instead of plug-ins, they had these sort of mushroom air fresheners. That's what the smell was. It wasn't him at all. So, Richard, if you're listening, you won't be. I'm probably still crying into your pillow, but I'm really sorry. Totally my bad. Hello, Gemma.
Hello, Catherine, sweetheart.
How are you?
I called to speak to Ian, but I guess you'll do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Poor substitute.
Does he have flu?
Well, he's got something. He had a wisdom tooth removed a couple of days ago, and it's kind of knocked him.
A lot of people have flu.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been in contact with pygmies?
No, he hasn't. He's only just found out that they're real people.
I hear they're full of flu.
Really?
It's true.
Is it?
Read it on Facebook.
It must be true then. Hang on, let me have a look.
Hello. How are you?
It's so good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm well.
And Nashville, how's it looking today?
Rainy.
Oh.
Rain's raining, wind's blowing, cousins humping, you know, that kind of thing.
Standard Nashville.
Yep.
You sounding fine, Phil. You having a good one?
I am. I'm taking care of it. This is another caregiver.
Right.
And I'm taking care of my little boy. I say boy, he's 29.
Oh, wow, he's not a little boy anymore.
No, not anymore.
What?
And I miss when he was.
Yeah. My kids are growing up. My kids are 8 and coming on 11. And I can't believe the time is... People tell you this when they're babies that it won't last forever and it will fly by. But really, every now and again I catch sight of them and I can see 14-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
I can see them growing up.
Enjoy it while they're little. Enjoy them.
I try to. And you do have to sort of pull yourself back sometimes and say, you know, when they say, can I help you do this, Mum, or something? And you're thinking, no, I'm really busy. And the first inclination is to say, no, just let me get on with this myself. But then you go, do you know what? There'll come a time when they don't want to hang out with me and do this. So I try and make time, but, you know, sometimes you have to remind yourself.
Well, working with, I call him my client, which is strange because I've been with him for years.
Mm-hmm.
He'll always be somewhat of a child.
Right.
So that's, we always have fun at Christmas and things like that are still childlike.
Right.
So,
oh, right. So this is the person you're talking about, the 29-year-old.
Yes. Oh, I've been with him since he was 14.
Right. My God, you've seen him through some different times then.
Yes, first shave and all of that.
Oh, wow. Wow, what a thing. Does it feel like a long time, or does it feel like it's gone in the blink of an eye?
It does feel like a long time, only because so much has happened.
Yeah.
His grandmother passed away, and his grandfather had a heart attack, and there's been lots of life events. He graduated from high school. So to me, it feels like a long time.
Yeah. God. And
through this, I've transitioned, so there's all that on top of that.
And how has he dealt with that? Because, as you say, he's kind of got the...
Doesn't give a stuff.
No?
No.
He still sees you.
Yep. I wish more people were like that.
Yeah. Yeah. How long was it? How long ago did you transition?
A year.
Right. So, gosh. So he was like 28 when it happened.
Yeah. It was gradual. 2 years ago is when I actually started. But yeah.
Yeah.
So he's seen me change and doesn't care. I'm still me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really special relationship you've got there, isn't it?
Yes. It's wonderful. But I was going to talk about, because I thought Ian would be in tonight.
Go on.
About which I know this is well-tread territory, but Bohemian Rhapsody, I thought. And I wasn't going to because of negative reviews from you guys and other people.
Well, I quite enjoyed it. It put me off watching it. I was looking forward to it. Then he said he'd seen it and it was boring. And so I put it off a little bit. And then I watched it and I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was kind of Disney whitewashed.
Well, yeah, there is that.
But,
there is that.
And,
but I
know he knows Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, he does. Well, he did.
Yeah. So, but he was originally going to be Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, difficulties with the band and all that stuff. And I think it would have been better with him.
Well,
because he wanted to make it, you know, dirty and gritty.
Yeah, there were sort of allusions to that kind of side of things, but they did sort of try. They sort of kept it frothy, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which I didn't mind. But, you know what? It's a different film. I didn't take it as being anything other than just a bit of froth.
Hmm.
But.
And there were lots of wrong facts.
Yeah, I know. Like the thing that where they'd they were about to break up or something around the time of Band Aid or whatever it was called in the film, and that wasn't really the case, and they hadn't toured and stuff. Yeah, I know. But kind of, I went into it expecting it to be crap, Gemma, basically. So you can only ever be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that I would like to see that other film, the film that they didn't make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because that's an interesting one. And that relationship with the girlfriend was a really beautiful and complicated thing that I didn't think got explored enough.
Yes, that's true.
Because didn't he leave her a lot of his money?
I think he did.
Yeah. It's human sexuality is a very, very complex thing, and it kind of got a bit distilled, didn't it, down to being, like you say, a bit lighter than it needed to be in that film. But
yeah.
I didn't mind it. I wasn't offended by it.
I just thought Sacha Baron Cohen would have really gone for it.
Yeah.
Drugs and sex and everything.
God, the whole shebang. The whole shebang.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
I also wanted to ask you, did you see the GIF or GIF I made?
Yes!
Okay.
The bell and the cheese. It did get mentioned last night. Because at first Ian went, what the hell is that? And then he let it go and he went, okay, I see exactly what that is. That made us laugh a lot.
So I made that on Sunday. And I've been wanting to eat that cheese. And every time I take it out, I think of bell cheese and it puts me off and I put it back.
That cheese is never going to get eaten.
I don't think so.
Well, thanks for making it, Gemma. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. say hey to your mama, Nam.
Will do. Thank you very much. Say hey to yours. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. You can talk about whatever you fancy, as we heard there. Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody? Because, like I said to Gemma, I thought it was going to be great. Then I was dissuaded from that. Then I watched it, and kind of knowing that to lower my expectations, I didn't mind it at all. I quite enjoyed it. But, yeah, I would quite like to see that other film. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. Let's have a look and see what's going on your messages. Lorraine, saying about my kids, 8 and 11. She remembers when they were born. Yeah, I just about do. What else have we got? People who like the Bangles, excellent. Oh, here's a go. Conscious man. It's always been a bread cob. Oh, we're going to get into the cob balm cake argument, are we? It's always been a bread cob, bread rolls or barn cakes. It's not a barn cake with like the outhouse. It's a barm cake. Do not exist. A up me duck. All right. I take it you're a Nottingham chap. And don't get me started on hot rolls in Scotland. They're bacon sandwiches or sausages. Is that what they call them? Hot rolls. 03444991000. We're talking about the last daft thing that you cried at. And also, did someone ever tell you that the person that you were going out with, it was never going to work? We were talking earlier on about this woman here who has fallen in love with a chandelier and she's going to make it a permanent fixture. She's broken up with the Statue of Liberty, with whom she was in a relationship before this, and now she's hoping that marriage to her favourite chandelier will prove her love is valid. She defines herself, identifies herself as an objectum sexual, which means she is attracted to objects. They said it would never work. I'm assuming it's not an object that they said that about with you, but we're open-minded on this show. 03444991000 if you want to give me a buzz. I wouldn't mind at all having a chat. Hey, Jessie.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for ringing.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. What have you got for me?
So lovely, I tell you.
Oh, thanks.
You're special.
Well, yeah.
What I want to ring about is share my experience. I've been through a lot of domestic violence.
Okay.
And my little baby died as a result, so I want to pay tribute to Chloe.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's hard. It is.
Mm.
Really hard.
So how long ago did this happen?
10 years.
10 years.
My baby died, yeah.
Oh.
I had to move a long, long way away and everything, and I'm disabled. Just makes things so much harder, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, how are you now? How's your life now?
It's like, well, you never get over anything like that.
No.
But it is hard, because I feel quite isolated, because I'm wheelchair bound, bed bound. I have to be treated like a baby at home. I have to be bed washed. It's horrible. I hate it.
Oh, God. How old are you, Jessie, if you don't mind me asking?
42.
Right. God, you're a similar age to me.
I thought I was, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's horrible, you know, not having any control like that.
Have you always been disabled?
Yeah. But it got worse. I wasn't always have to be hoisted, but my health got worse quickly. So I got muscular dystrophy.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it degenerates, does it?
Yeah, it gets. And so I've not just got my disability pain to cope with, I've got the emotional pain of what I've been through. It's hard, it is.
Yeah. And I imagine as well, the way you're living means that you've got a lot of time to think about stuff.
Yeah, because I've got an electric wheelchair, but because I'm in so much pain all the time, I rarely get out, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you have people come round?
Just my carers.
Right. And how long have you been living? You're living a lot further away from where you were based before.
Yeah.
God, that's hard, Jessie.
Having to be in a refuge in a wheelchair.
Gosh.
It's one thing going through that, but another thing in a wheelchair, you know.
I know.
When I got here, they've never heard of disabled homeless.
Mm. So what's the situation now? Have you got your own place or are you living with other people?
No, I've got a flat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any places for, you have to, only like if you're 60 above.
Right, yeah. I know.
And it's hard because I don't have any choice what carers I get, and it's hard.
Yeah, and how are they, your carers?
Mixture.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I can't I have to have them because I can't get to bed without them.
Right. But if there's a problem, who stands up for you? Because I imagine it's difficult.
No one, really.
Yeah.
No, it's hard. Plus, I've got the extra emotion of what I've been through.
Yeah.
I've just had a personal ring made, memorial ring, in memory of her.
Oh, bless her.
Just in the process of being made.
Right. Is that, you know, I can't imagine what you've gone through. The hardest thing.
Hell.
The hardest thing. And you, like you say, you'll never get over it.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing, isn't it? I imagine you kind of start to get used to living with it.
Yeah, it's sort of, you just cope.
Mm.
And you and Ian are so lovely. I look forward to listening to you both.
Oh, thank you, Jessie. Do you know
and
what?
I've got an idea.
Go on.
Of how you can get more listeners.
Go on.
You know, you were saying the other day.
Yeah.
What about taking your show live to Night Spots?
Night Spots?
Yeah, because you'll have people that are in there already, and it'll people that won't have heard of you.
Yeah.
We'll get to know you.
Right. So what?
That'd be quite fun.
When you say night spots, what you mean, like clubs, pubs?
Pubs, clubs.
Oh my
yeah.
God! Can you imagine? We get enough drunk people ringing up as it is.
Doing fun and games. Right.
Actually, that's not a bad shout, Jessie.
Yeah.
That's not a bad shout at all. Have you been listening for a long time? I don't think we've spoken before, have we?
We have.
Oh, have we?
I spoke a short while ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. I'm glad that we're keeping you company. Yeah. I'm sorry you've had such a crappy time.
You two are so lovely. You are.
Oh, well. We're not really. We're evil.
No, you're lovely.
Well,
oh, bless you.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Jessie.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, well, I'm sorry there's nothing I can say to make it better.
I know. It just helps to sometimes share, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know where to come.
Yeah. Bless you all.
Thanks very much, Jessie. Night night.
Bye.
Bye bye.
God bless.
Bye. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give me a ring.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Right, you know you can ring me. I'm on 0344 499 1000. I'm thinking it's after midnight, and I've had the new edition of Chat It's Fate for about 2 weeks, and I've only just opened it, so. Should we delve into the realms of the unexplained, courtesy of a chatty and colourful magazine? Right, here's the front page. You can give me a ring whenever you fancy. Sheila's on the line in a minute, so I won't get started until we've had a chat with her. 0344 499 1000. But the front page of the August 2019. Yes, Chat It's Fate is so into the supernatural that it's always a month, sometimes two ahead. So I'm bringing you the future now. Discover your destiny at the beach. Photo bombed by my dead mum. Dark forces wanted me gone from my island retreat. I bring witches back from the brink of death, thanks to charity shop treasure. Porn star by day, ghost hunter by night. Brackets, bump in the night. Cursed, until I was visited by a mystical fish. And get to know your seven spirit guides. All that coming up from Chat Is Fate with me, Catherine Boyle, on Talk Radio. Where else would you hear this level of nonsense? Hello, Sheila.
Hiya.
Hello, how are you?
Not good. I've not heard you for a little while, so I've not been able to listen. Why is Ian not on?
He's just not well. He'll be all right. He'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so.
Touch wood.
Okay.
Touch wood. He had some wisdom teeth out. Here's the
is
thing.
Is that it?
No, well, wait
That's
for it.
That on?
Wait for it. He went just to get his teeth checked out, so he wasn't expecting it. They said, your wisdom teeth's going to come out, we can do it now. And they whipped it out straight away, and I said to him afterwards, normally they give you some warning. Cause
yeah,
some
they
people...
do. I had mine out about a year ago.
Yeah, and some people suffer
and
with it.
And I had to think about it. Yeah. He gave me a year to think about if I wanted to take him out or have a brace.
Yeah.
Also, and I was like, I'm not going to do it.
You showed me the tooth, Sheila. The root was a right old mess. It was like a wizened old oak tree. So imagine that being dragged out of your face, out of your jaw. No wonder he's suffering. So anyway.
No, I did have my wisdom teeth out, and it was horrible. It's the most horrendous thing I've had done, but you know, until recently. So I've not heard you for a little while, so I just sort of turned in after a couple of weeks. And
all right, well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I've had a shitty couple of weeks, actually, and just thought I'd tune in, and Ian's not there, and it was a lovely show. So wanted to phone in and talk to you.
Yeah, talk to me. Do you want to talk about what's been happening, or do you want to talk about something else?
I don't know, really. I've had the worst couple of weeks of my life, actually, Kath.
Oh.
Dad's been taken into hospital.
Oh, shit.
I just feel awful. I've had an awful day. I've been there from 10 o'clock this morning, and I don't think he's going to come out again.
Oh, Sheila. What happened?
He's had... I don't know, Kath, and that's the thing. The last 3 weeks, he's been okay. He's just an old age man.
Yeah.
I've got older parents, so, you know, for someone as young as me, I shouldn't be dealing with this.
Yeah.
But I've had older parents. And, you know, what's gone from old age to confusion and dementia has occurred in the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
it's
Sheila.
Awful.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm glad it's just you tonight. I don't want to talk to you about this. I'm glad it's just you.
Oh, Sheila.
I've been in hospital all day.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And I feel I've lost my dad.
Oh, Sheila, I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry I wouldn't normally call you, but I just thought it's sad. I've got no one else to call.
It's all right. It's all right. We've got all night.
And I had to leave him in the hospital today. And he tried to fly me out because he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He said he was there for me. He thought he was there for me.
Oh.
I was having tests and it was me.
Yeah. And what did you say?
At the end, I was there all day. We had to get the nurse to sort of take care of him. It's been the last 3 weeks. The thing is, he's been old aged for a little while.
Yeah.
But the last 3 weeks, I don't... Oh, Kath.
He's gone downhill, has he?
Oh, God, the difference in him. It's just been so acute.
Oh, heartbreaking.
I don't feel ready to deal with it.
No, well...
I don't think anyone does.
No,
but
of course not.
I do have older parents, and most people, they're already ready to deal with it. They've got kids and they've got family. And I just wasn't expecting it.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Kath. I just want to bring the show down.
Don't you dare apologise.
I've not listened to you for a long time because there's a lot going on for the last few weeks. I'm so worried about my mum as well.
Of course you are.
And I've been thinking about stuff that's going on with... Yeah, I know Ian said it before, that his mum's in a care home.
Yeah.
And the last few days we've been looking that up, and I don't even know how we can afford... How can anyone afford to pay for that?
I don't know. It's crazy, but listen, here's the thing, Sheila. You will not be out on the streets. It's going to be all right. And I know it's really hard, but here's the moment where you've just got to go, right... One day at a time. Deal with one. It looks like a great big knot of a problem, right? It looks like too much. Just do one thing at a time. So
I'm sorry, I know normally phone you up quite cheery and stuff, but I'm so distraught.
Oh, Sheila, it's allowed. It's allowed. You're going through something really, really tough.
But my dad doesn't even know who I am half the time. I'm sorry.
No, I understand. That's really heartbreaking. Does he have little flashes, though, of remembering?
Oh, yeah, he does. He's talking about stuff from his childhood. He used to live in Thailand. He used to live in... He did, one of my friends said to me, oh, God, he did a lot. And, yeah, he did. He used to do a lot when he was young.
Yeah.
But that makes me feel worse. It feels like, oh, once he had a family, he did nothing.
No. This is a thing. He's probably got to a part of his life where that wasn't exciting anymore, so the new adventure was the family.
Nah, my mum was, way before her time. She was a real feminist.
Yeah.
And I should be like her, and I'm not, and I feel like I need to change myself now. I should have followed my mum's example, where she was, you know, before her time, in the 70s, she was, really, I can't explain it, but dad was the house husband and she was the earner, and that never happened.
No, but you know how incredible that is, the fact that he did that?
I guess we all thought she was the role model. Well, and maybe they both were.
Yeah. Do you know who the main carer for my kids are when I'm not there?
Yes, of course.
My dad or my husband or my father-in-law. And those kids have got an incredible set of role models there. Incredible. A lot of kids don't see their dads when they're growing up.
Yeah.
They get the lot. Do you know what? No one's got it perfect, Sheila, but what you had sounds like it was pretty special. It is pretty special.
My dad wasn't great, and that's the thing.
Right.
He doesn't really know what he's talking about, and I don't know if he's got dementia. I don't know what it is. He's still being assessed for it, and we were told it was that, then we're told it's not that.
They've not checked for, like, a water infection, have they?
Yeah, he had that done by the GP.
Because have you ever noticed how bonkers they can go with water infections? It's not.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'd never heard about that, but he got that done by the GP a little while ago, and nothing came back. And then today, we've spent all day at hospital, and he's had all of that checked, and I don't know if it's going to... the water's fine.
Right.
Bloods are fine.
Okay.
So it's kind of, you want it to be that.
Well, you kind of want to know what it is, don't you? And if it's that, then it's something they can turn around.
Yes, and that's going to... we can change that, but I don't think it's going to be that. Well, and I don't know how we can deal with the care homes and...
Right, so hang on. What we need to do is...
It's only been a week.
Yeah.
It's been too much for us.
But isn't it weird how, you know, a day can change everything? A few hours can change everything. It sounds like now you're looking at a completely different future than you thought you would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But try to resist making too many plans at this point. Just get to concentrate on what these tests are first, and then you know what you're dealing with.
But he's in hospital saying, Catherine, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know.
Mum and I were with him all day from sort of 9 o'clock in the morning till sort of 8 o'clock at night.
God, exhausting.
And it is exhausting. He wouldn't stay there. He thought he was there because of me.
Yeah.
He kept trying to put me in the bed, kept trying to get them to do tests on me. Like, he didn't know why he was there.
Yeah.
And then when we tried to leave, he followed us out, he's going home. And that's the thing. The only thing he loves is his home. He wants to go home.
Yeah.
And we had to get the nurses to say, please don't let him go home.
Yeah.
Please don't. And it's awful. I don't know how he is. I don't want to phone. I don't really want to know how he... I do want to know, but I don't, if you know what I mean.
I know. It's a lot to deal with, Sheila. Don't feel guilty about that. Do you know the best thing you could probably do tonight? Go to bed.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that because I don't want to talk to you.
I've not slept for weeks. I've not slept for quite a few weeks now.
Well, it's not going to do you any good. Here's the thing. If you go under, everyone does. You've got to look after yourself at this point.
Okay. I'm sorry to tell you about something.
No, don't.
To upset him because I wouldn't normally, but...
Don't be sorry. I'm glad you did.
I think it's dementia, and I'm praying to God it's not.
Yeah.
But it's made me think about dementia, and it's made me think about people that don't have anyone with them.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't make any difference, because if you have your family, it's still heartbreaking, because I feel I've lost my dad already.
Yeah. Here's the thing, I've noticed this, and, you know, I've lost my grandma recently, and I've lost more people than I'd like to, and I've seen it happen around me. This is how it is if you win, right? If you stay with your family and you all grow up together and you grow old and you're lucky enough to know someone until they grow old, this is what happens if you flipping win. How fair is this?
I know. It's almost like the better you look after your physical self, your mental self can't keep up with that. We're all getting better, aren't we, with our bodies.
We're living longer than we should, probably.
But our minds can't cope with it.
Yeah. But, you know, he's really lucky that he's got you, and he's really lucky you were there all day. And whether he's conscious of it or not, there'll be moments where he is. And
no, sorry to bring it down, but
no, it's upset
so much.
Don't
you? I thought I was going to phone you a few weeks ago, but I didn't, and I'm glad. Like, it's nice to talk to Ian, but I'd rather talk to you sometimes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but don't ever say sorry for ringing up. I really appreciate you ringing.
Thank you. Thank you. You've made me feel better because I can't find my friends at this time of night and bother them.
Right. Here's the plan then for tonight. Get yourself in bed. And just and try and have a relax, because you've got to look after yourself. You don't know what's coming.
I don't know what's happened to him tonight. I'm guessing he's okay. I'm guessing they've sedated him or something.
They would have rung you if there was a problem.
Okay.
They would have rung you. You've got to trust that they know what they're doing. And do you know what? He probably doesn't know anything about how upset you are.
That's what makes me feel so awful, that we're suffering, and he's probably having the great time. He's happy. He's so happy. Never seen him so happy in his life. He's joking. He's making, he's so jovial. Everyone I know that's seen him, they're like, oh, God, your dad's not like that. He's so happy.
Well, hold on to that.
Yeah.
And concentrate on just looking after yourself for tonight. Tomorrow's another day, and you don't know what's going to happen, but you know you're going to deal with it. You will.
I will do. Thank you, honey. That's why I've not called for a little bit, because things are going on.
Okay.
But thank you for talking to me.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for ringing. Take care. Night-night. Bye-bye. Bye. 0344-499-1000 if you want to give me a ring.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. You never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
Blimey, look at that. I've only got 20 minutes left. If you want to give me a ring, 0344-499-1000. Here's Derek. Hiya, Derek.
Hi. It's just, I was listening to the last caller. Was it Sheila?
Yeah.
Sheila? Yeah. My father had Alzheimer's, and he passed, must be 7 years ago or something now.
Yeah.
But you kind of stole both the things that I was going to say to her. She's maybe in bed now and won't be listening to this, but it was just to say to her that there's probably millions of people, hopefully millions anyway, on your show listening, that's had the same kind of thing. But I'm listening to her and I understand her, and it's tough, but as you said as well, they don't know. And my father ended up going into a home.
Yeah.
And we had some of the best laughs in that home, the sing songs and the different things going on and that. Yeah, it was good. Oh. I think it took it out my mother the most.
Yeah.
And they often say that it's the ones, the carers that...
Yeah, because you know what's going on, don't you?
It's
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, people tell me that, and I had it a little bit with one of my grandmothers towards the end, but... in that she just completely, she thought she was at school half the time. She was waiting for her dad a lot, but she seemed more frightened. You know, some people are, you know, happy-go-lucky and don't realise what's going on. She didn't know what was going on, and she was frightened a lot of the time and felt like she was waiting. But there were some times when there would be a little flicker of recognition, and it was like the clouds had parted and there was sunshine. You know, I would go and see her, And I must admit, I felt terribly guilty about it, but there were times when I didn't want to go. And actually, Ian convinced me to go. He said, you know what? You won't forgive yourself. Go to be there with her. Don't expect anything, but just go, you know. And I went, and at one moment, she sort of looked up and she went, oh, it's Catherine. And that was enough for me. That was enough for the journey, you know.
Take your breath away almost. But it's worth it. It's a horrible thing, but hopefully I'll be able to do something and get some kind of cure. But it was just to say that I was thinking about her, at least from Bonnie, Scotland, and I hope she has a nice sleep tonight.
That's really kind of you. That's really Take kind. Care. Thanks very much for ringing, Derek.
Okay.
Night-night. Bye.
Bye. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. 0344-499-1000 if you want to give me a ring. Susan has. Let's have a listen to what she has to say. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Susan.
Yeah, it's really great that you're getting a lot of calls. I'm sort of unprepared to call you. I've not prepared any spiel or anything like that.
Oh, good. These are the best calls.
Sorry?
Good, because these are the best calls.
I just want to say how much I appreciate yourself. I also wish to make an apology. The first time that I called, Catherine, am I too loud here?
No, you're fine.
Oh, right, okay. The first time that I called your station, I chastised Lee, and I really feel for him at the moment. For anybody to go to the dentist and instantly have wisdom teeth taken out, it must be awful. But I chastised him, and I said to Lee that everybody waits for Paul Ross. However, at that time, Catherine... I had a lot of brain fog.
Right.
I, however, do wait for Paul Ross.
Yeah.
But I listen to your station every single day, mostly in the evenings and also during tonight, during the evenings, because through the night, I live with insomnia.
Right.
And then, so all I want, I just want to lift the atmosphere a little bit here, Catherine, if I can.
Of course.
And I'm so sorry for people who are troubled, probably similar to myself. I live with myalgic encephalomyelitis,
right.
Fibromyalgia. I hardly sleep at all, therefore I am awake in the evenings mm-hmm. to enjoy your radio station. I think you, Lee, and Paul are absolutely fantastic. Yeah, and I'm really sorry that this evening that you are alone, because you're taking double the calls. In fact, your calls have not stopped. I just want to express my appreciation to you, Lee and Paul, because I so much appreciate you, because I live alone and have done for 20 years, and you are an inspiration to all of us. So
blimey, Susan, thank you very much. That's really sweet of you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So if there is anybody out there who lives with ME, that's M for Michael, E for Edward.
Oh, I've heard of ME. I didn't realise that was the long name for it that you gave.
Yeah, it is called, and my pronunciation is very poor, Catherine.
No.
I can't even say it. It's so complex.
It's all right. We get it. Oh, I really appreciate the fact that you've phoned up. And it must be crappy not being able to sleep. Gosh, drives me potty.
I can be awake for 24 hours, absolutely, totally in pain from the head down.
Oh, blimey.
But, yeah, I don't want to grumble, though.
No, I know you don't.
I've done six major surgeries. My heart goes out to these people who phone up with disability, like the lady just recently.
Mm-hmm, Jesse.
And also about people who have lost many loved ones. My heart goes out to you all. And I just want to thank this station, because you are actually helping an awful lot of very, very lonely people and people in need. In fact, you are probably providing a far better service than the Samaritans. And I respect you very, very much for that.
Well, thanks very much, Susan. The Samaritans are brilliant, but I appreciate that. Thanks so much for ringing.
Thank you. Will you please let Lee know that I apologise?
Of course I will. Do you know what? You won't have even noticed, Susan, but that's really nice of you to care enough to want to make amends.
I do care. I do want to make amends, because in the future I would love to phone you up again.
Oh, of course you can.
I'm sorry that I'm real serious tonight, but there you go. So don't work too hard.
Oh, gosh.
The calls will be queuing up for you now, Susan. I'm very sure of that.
Bless you. Thanks very much, Susan. Night-night. Bye. And don't you ever worry about ringing. It's fine. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give me a ring. We're not going to get to chat today at this rate. That's a quick... I really want to read the thing about cursed until I was visited by mystical fish before we finish. I won't forgive myself if we don't. Hang on. So cover stories. Page 34. The thing is about these cover stories, it's very seldom how it's painted on the front. It's like it tries to attract you in and then just feed you bullshine. Right. Here we go. Here we go, right. Creature teacher in the goldfish bowl. I've always been a bit... This is Grace Ashley, 18, from Coventry. I've always been a bit disorganised and messy. When I left school 2 years ago, my teacher said, "You've got a bright future ahead of you, Grace. You've just got to slow down and stop losing things." My mum had been saying the same thing for years. I'd zoom around, dropping things, shoving things in places where I thought I'd be able to find them, and then forgetting, of course. Within days of starting a job with a supermarket, I'd lost my security pass. Needless to say, my managers weren't happy with me. I had to get a new one. Then I lost that one too. I hunted high and low for it, but I couldn't find it anywhere. To make matters worse, I realised I'd also lost my house keys and phone. This girl is a nightmare. Maybe I'm cursed, I said gloomily to Mum. I'd been to the pub the night before. Ah, now we're finding out why she's losing stuff. So I rang and left a message to see if I'd left them there. The landlord called Mum the next day to say he'd found my phone, but not my keys. Strangers could have picked up your keys and followed you home, Grace, Mum scolded. Scolded, something you only ever read, no one ever says. You've got to be more careful. That day, I walked to work past the pet shop. I was early for my shift, so I decided to pop in. I was immediately drawn to the fish, their brightly coloured bodies zipping around in their tank. I'd kept fish as a little girl and loved them, the way they moved so swiftly. I stared at them, transfixed. I had to drag myself out of the shop to get to work on time. Yeah, we all like fish. Why are you late? I was looking at some fish. That night, I dreamed that I lived in a goldfish bowl. Everyone could see the real me. My messy, chaotic life was on full display and there was nowhere to hide. And I had a little trail of poo coming out of my bum. It was awful. I added that bit. It was awful. People were laughing at how I lived. Then a huge fish came right up to me, almost nose to nose, and told me I'd better sort my life out or spend my life in a fish bowl. I woke up in a sweat. I was so relieved to be in my bedroom, in my own bed. The next day, I decided to buy a fish tank and some beautiful fish. They remind me to slow down, live simply, and that there is a place for everything. My bedroom is a haven. I am at last chaos free. My stools are of normal size, and I love it. I mean, that was not the story I thought it was going to be. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry to bother you again. I've just been listening to you because I'm not sleeping myself at the moment. But I've got a little tip that I've been doing for a few weeks now, and it seems to work for me. If you've struggling with sleeping, or anybody out there, as they're saying, you know, that young girl before, mm-hmm. very upset. I go on YouTube and I put on a video called Sleep Talk Down.
Oh yeah.
And his name's Jason Stevenson, and he's got hours ones, but this one is 43 minutes long, and I've never got to the end of it yet.
Oh.
It's a meditation hypnosis thing.
Right.
And you just listen to him, you think, God, you're boring me to tears. But he knocks me out, and I sleep for 7 hours, which is, at the moment, I mean, I've got things going around my head at the moment, so I've been awake, and yeah. I'm thinking, right, I'm going to have to put that on tonight again, so that I listen to him. And I think I've only got through about 10, 15 minutes of the talking, and it's just the way he's saying to you, you know, you're breathing, and you do this, and you do that, and you just listen to his voice. And I've never got to 43 minutes. I've got to about 10, 15 minutes. If you put your headphones in your phone tonight, just listen to him. And the next thing, I was like, wow, well, I've slept for 7 hours.
And what's he called? Stephen what?
His name's Jason Stevenson.
All right, Jason Stevenson.
And it's called Sleep Talk Down.
All right.
There's a few on there, but, you know, if anyone's listening and they're having trouble, just listen to him. And his voice is a bit tedious. I think
they have to be, otherwise you'd be listening.
Yeah, but it says meditation hypnosis. I said, is he hypnotising me?
Well, here's the thing. I had a hypnobirthing CD when I was pregnant in 2008.
Mm.
And I never heard it. I would hear the first 5 minutes and it would all be, and now you lie there and imagine a white light coming down, down into your womb. Where your baby lies, breathing in. It was all that, right?
Yeah.
And I'd fall fast asleep. Now, it didn't give me a pain-free birth. It didn't make me any less of a nut job once she was born. But I did get some decent shut-eye, and I never heard the end of that CD. So something was working there.
So I just think at the end of 43 minutes, as you say, and after 7 hours, you will wake up. But I've never got to the end of it. I'm thinking, shall I play it from the end and play it back and just see what he actually says at the end?
Well, listen to it in the day.
It's about 10 minutes, yeah. You just listen to him and I'm thinking, your voice is really getting on my nerves, but it does work. It's really good. I'm going to have to put it on tonight because my head's sort of going round and round and I was thinking.
What, have you got things on your mind?
Yeah.
I find writing a list does it for me.
Yes, yeah.
Otherwise you spend your whole night trying to remember all the stuff you've got to do.
I'm doing work in charity shops now, so that's getting me out for a few hours each day, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a local shop, so I'm doing that at the moment. But, you know, there's other things going on, my partner and my health and everything else comes to you at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but try that anyway, and if anyone else, whoever's listening, if you're having a problem, just put it on,
It's on my phone there. I'm going to go on YouTube now when you go in a few minutes.
All right.
And hopefully we'll all get a good night's sleep.
Thank you, Jackie. Top tip there.
Right. Okay. Good night. Bye-bye.
Of course, we don't want you going to sleep.
No, in the words of Casey and the Sunshine Band, baby, please don't go, Jackie. I'm with you till 5 a.m.
The thing is, you're too fascinating. You're keeping people awake.
If only that were true. How are you doing, Kath?
I'm all right. Show
standing. How's Ian? Has he still got the bad cold thing?
Yeah, he is. And I think the tooth thing has kicked in. Anyway, he needs a night off. So good job. He's resting up.
Okay, well, our countdown to the big moon launch on the 20th continues. I've just finished a brilliant book. Years ago, I read about a bloke called, it's his real name, Marvel Parsons.
Really?
An American.
What a wonderful name.
He grew up and was called Jack by his parents, but his real name was Marvel. And he was a very early experimenter. He was part of the California Institute of Technology, Caltech, with a mate of his called Frank Molina, and they were early rocket scientists. And nobody had any faith in rockets in the 30s. They called them the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But they worked on it, developed it. But this guy Parsons then became a disciple of Aleister Crowley, the black magician.
Right.
He knew L. Ron Hubbard. They shared a girlfriend. Hubbard ripped him off for money. So he's involved with mysticism, Scientology in the early days, but he's still working on rocket technology. And the things he discovered and the organizations he founded, he blew himself up, they think, in the 50s. Other people say he just disappeared to South America. Very wealthy man. Very good looking guy, looked like kind of a movie baddie from the 40s. Are you looking up Jack Parsons? Or known as Marvel Parsons. So we've got the author of a great new book about it. It's the kind of secret side of rocket development. Because the other guy that he worked with, Frank Molina, steady.
Historical hottie.
He's a bit Robert Mitchum, yeah, early Orson Welles, isn't
very
he?
Very handsome.
But they made a TV series about a few years ago, but it was terrible. They really missed an opportunity. And the other guy was a Communist Party member, and that meant the FBI kind of kept him away from rocket development. And then, of course, when the Soviets joined the war, he was allowed back in. But then he got fed up with the whole thing. He left, he went to France. But he kept his shares in his company, and he got a phone call in the 1950s. He's suddenly, in 1950s to him, a multi-millionaire.
Gosh.
Because of the stock. So it's an amazing story. It's a real kind of unexpected sign of the moon landing. So we're talking about that on the show this morning.
That sounds brilliant. When's that on?
I can't remember. I think it's after 2, I think. So you'll probably be indoors. Up the window to Bedfordshire.
Have to listen
again.
It'll
just be me and Jackie. You know, radio for one person. Jackie, stay with us. Also, we've got an absolute hero we're speaking to. At the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. He's an ex-serviceman. He was serving in Afghanistan, you know, hideous accident with a landmine. He lost both his legs.
Right.
He's attempting with some colleagues to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So we are quite literally touching base with him at base camp, and that'll be about 4:30 this morning. So if you can stick around, folks, loads of stuff on the rocks and the usual old tosh, including we are talking telly with Mike Walsh and the Daily Express and the Daily Star.
Well, is there anything on telly these days? It's all about radio, isn't it?
I think so, but we have to kind of gesture towards those who are kind of different, you know. I mean, the thing about it is, it's a great line in The Lost Boys, that vampire movie from the 80s,
yes,
when they turn up and they say, "Where's the telly, Grandpa?" And Grandpa says, "I haven't got the telly." He said, "Have you got the TV guide?" He said, "Son, if you've got the TV guide, you don't need the television." So if we tell people about the TV shows, they'll feel they've seen them. They can join in the conversations at work or the school gate, and so they can listen to the radio.
Do you know the way I discover television programmes these days is by watching Gogglebox? It's the only thing I watch, right? And I'll watch Gogglebox and I go, "Well, that looks quite good. I'll investigate that further."
The thing is, I'm, you know, now so into Netflix and Amazon Prime. I'm like my own scheduler, which is difficult because I've committed. A couple of series I watched. Have you ever seen Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Well, I started watching it. Charlie Hallam's in it, the British actor playing an American. They're kind of like the Hells Angels. Ron Perlman's in it. First series was great, or season. Second series, not as good. But I stayed with it like an idiot. I watched 6 series of it, and it gets increasingly depressing and rubbish.
Yeah, because you can feel it happening. You can feel them stretching it and stretching it, and you think, this isn't going to end well.
I was suffering separation anxiety, and I'm not going to do that ever again. So now I'm quite brutal with them. I'll give it 3 episodes. If it's not for me, I move on. So yeah. We've got TV on the show, off to Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro, and a bit more moon landing stuff, which I'm looking forward to.
Sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much, Paul Ross. Paul Ross up next, of course. That's me just about done. Thank you so much for your company tonight. If you are off to bed now, well, you're going to miss a cracking show. You can listen again tomorrow via our fantastic website or the app.
Can they?
Hello.
Even am I all rubbish? Am I on listening
again? Of course,
I better choose my words more carefully.
I should think so.
So is Ian hopefully back tonight then with
well,
you?
Well, that's
not the... Not to say hopefully. You're a great listener anyway.
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan, so we'll see what happens. But do you know what? Sometimes you've got to take a little time to look after yourself, and hopefully that's been the message of tonight's show. Good night, everyone. I shall see you tomorrow in whatever form it comes. Bye-bye. This is Talk Radio.